Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on Soulstream, this is not Soulstream. This is that show. I'm not allowed to say that show. Someone out there thinks I don't have the right to speak. So, guess what? Tonight is that show, by God. It's my American right. Tonight, it's Saturday night, and we're back, baby.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soulstream on blogtalkradio.com.
Thank you.
are here. A beautiful day in the Sierra Nevadas out here in Northern California, town of Shingle Springs, a little historic gold rush town out here. I'm about 9 miles from where gold was discovered in 1849, and we actually live on a haunted gold mine. I actually, though, helped one of our spirits cross over yesterday here on the property. Anna, our ghost, who had been here for actually one of the first spirits I ever really saw full on. She made it clear she wanted to cross, and we accommodated that. So yesterday evening we did that, and it was a wonderful thing, and a really touching thing. I really was kind of sad to see her go, but I know she'll be back. So we are kind of just in that kind of weird space right now. I was out working on the new observatory I'm building, about 250 feet from where her we believe her grave is, and I walked out there and I just couldn't feel her, and it was a different feel. You know, usually you feel that when a spirit's around, you can kind of tell, and this time it was just sort of blank, and I just was like a little sad. So I'm sure she's doing fine on the other side, and I'll probably get an indication. I did have some strange dreams last night. I dreamed that I was packing my luggage and then couldn't take it on a trip, and I have no idea where I went. And Gina, I'm not sure she's out here right now, but Gina was saying on Facebook that it could be I was actually astral traveling and didn't, you know, don't remember the whole thing. So, you know, it's been a weird week, you know, but yeah, you heard me when I first started. I was told by an individual out there that I can't say certain things on the air because they will report me to Blog Talk. And basically, my response is go to hell because it's my American right to say what I want. I do follow the FCC standards for how we do things on this program. But after that, telling me that I can't say, you know, that show, get real. So bottom line is, it's my show. I'm going to do what I want, and they can mind their own show and do what they do. So have fun there, my friend. But anyway, so that has been paid attention to. So tonight, everybody, say it. It's that show. And I'm going to say it over and over again and enjoy myself. Anyway, tonight we have Almost Heaven is here, Kathy's Distant Echoes. She was actually chief engineer tonight launching the shuttle, did a great job at the matches, and she ran really fast. Dan, who used to do that job, he was severely burned in one accident, and he is back now. Oop, we got a guest there. Sorry, guest, you get kicked because the new rules are you must sign in to show who you are. So anyway, Dan is now co-piloting with me. We both own Mind Lab metal detectors, so we're like a special fraternity of spiritual people. We like to go find things that are buried, treasures, and then have ghosts show us where these things are. Anyway, let's see. Nancy Mum is here. Nancy, my dear friend, and she has been someone real special on Facebook, and it's good to see you here, my dear. Good to see you registered on Blog Talk and part of the show. So I hope you call in one of these days along with everybody else. The number tonight, by the way, you see it out there, 646-478-0377 for readings tonight, that kind of thing. Moving on, though, we have Quinny. Quinny Pooh, I love you. How are you doing, my dear? Tim Zuhl, he's the man. He's like the electronics whiz like me. You know, we build stuff. We're just kind of crazy experimental types. So, yeah, you know, he got fried a few times, and so have I, you know. But our hair is almost recovered. Wu Kulin, I'm not going to say that right. Wu Kulin, damn it, being American sucks. You just can't say certain things here. Let's say Wu Kulin. There we go. I'm going to say that. So we got it. So that's who's here tonight. We also have, I'm sure, a few listeners out there. We had some guests coming in. So for those of you I'm having to kick out, I'm sorry, but the new rules are you have to have an account. We got a new one, and they pop in and out. So bottom line is, I'm going to toss you if I see you out there. Just get an account. It's all you got to do, and you can be part of the show. Otherwise, just listen in and enjoy what we do. But Dan has Flash Player Crashing Burb. You know, the burbs. You're living in the burbs? Oh, you got flashes in the burbs. Okay. Yeah, it is Chinese. I know. It's funny. I've got Chinese folks I work with, and Taiwanese who speak Mandarin, and I've learned a little Mandarin, like ni hao ma,
you know, I know that, and I know shu. You know, I can say certain Mandarin words, but when it comes to some of the words, just, I don't know, I'm Texan. It's just not right. We're not built that way, you know? It's just not right. So anyway, we are going to have a little fun tonight. Definitely open for readings. That's on the tap tonight. So if you want to call in for that, we're going to do a little bit of psychometry. Got that picked out. I have a couple of objects here in front of me. So if nobody calls in, we're going to be doing that. I am going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff going on. Yeah, Taiwan speak Mandarin like foreigner. You know, I never thought about that. Yeah, I guess there's Mandarin and Mandarin, you know, depending on where you're from. So you can have like Mandarin with an accent from Taiwan and then someone on the mainland, and you could tell, I guess, right? You could tell there's a definite difference in the dialect and the way you sound. It's kind of like the South, you know, Southern people here, you know, versus Westerners. Yeah. Scottish accent, I don't, you know what, I was born in Texas, my dear. I'm half Scottish Highlander and the other half is Portuguese, but it's actually Portuguese Viking. I'm actually, that part of my family were Vikings who landed in the Azores. So, yeah, I should be wearing horns, you know, with the whole Viking thing, you know, but a little bit of Portuguese mainland blood in there, so that kind of mixed in. But Pekingese, too. Now, that's, I've never heard, I've heard of that language, but I don't know the difference there, Pekingese versus Mandarin. Are they related or are they wildly different from one another? Yeah, and you're from the USA, okay. So Dan's back. Hopefully he resolved his stuff, the Viking Highlander. It's weird to be, you know, so frigging Celtic, you know. I don't know. I guess it was just, you know, meant to be, and then all the other weird things that have happened. You know, it's funny. I was just watching Close Calls. What is it, the name of that show where people who are famous, Close Calls, there's the folks who Celebrity Close Calls, Celebrity Ghost Stories. I was just watching Celebrity Close Calls, and Gary Busey was on there. Sorry, I got to kick this guest. There we go. Gary Busey had an experience that was very similar to something I had happen to me, although I didn't have it in quite the same way he did. He actually was thrown from a motorcycle and had a very life-changing event, and he was actually quite some time in recovery from a brain trauma from the accident back in the 1980s. Not too long after he did the first movie with, I'm trying to think of the name of that blockbuster he was in. He played the villain. The name escapes me. Somebody remind me who it was a couple of cops, and he played the bad guy, and he was running around in a helicopter, and oh gosh. The name is, I can see it in my head and I just can't picture the title. But anyway, not important. What was interesting was he got thrown from a motorcycle in much the same way I did when I was 17, although I had a helmet on, whereas he didn't. But what was interesting was he talked about some very interesting things that happen to people who are in life-threatening situations. And he was actually in midair, and he found himself in a moment where time stopped. And when that happened, he said he was surrounded by golden orbs, and one of them spoke to him and asked him, you know, look, we can take you now. You don't have to go through all this. You could just leave with us, and you don't have to feel any of this, or you can go forward. And he made the decision to stay with his body and stay alive. And when that happened, he came to, and he basically was had all these miracles start happening. He had, he landed at the feet of a police officer who was just happened to be walking in that general vicinity, and then a block away were just the right people who were able to do the various medical things that needed. He needed, a paramedic team. And they were able to see that he got the care he needed. And it was the kind of care that you need when you are you've only got like minutes to live. And he got to the hospital with like 3 minutes to live. That's how tight this was. And all these people happen to be placed in the right place. And I've told you the story about my father's incident where he had that seizure that was so bad, and we were driving for his, you know, very life. And it was the same thing. If anything had been different in that incident, it wouldn't have come out well. But, you know, I have a feeling God puts people in certain places and creates certain situations that give you the option to be able to go out and do, you know, these amazing things. And, you know, and you find out how valuable life is. But, you know, my little experience when I was 17, I was racing on an old Honda motorcycle on some railroad tracks with another guy. And I hit a rock, and I was coming up off a hill, and I hit at the very apex of the hill. My front tire hit a rock, and I popped up. And when I did, I left the bike, and I found myself in midair, and I'm heading right into a rock pile, face first. And I looked at this, and I swear to God, all time stopped. It was actually the strangest thing. I've only had, when I've had heart trouble, and I've been in the hospital a couple of times where I had some things happening, that's the only other times I've had this experience of time stopping, where it was just so so surreal, and it seemed infinite. And I remember, like, feeling this presence. And while I was there, it was like I was out of body, and I could look behind me and see the bike, and yet I could look forward and see what was coming at me, and it was the strangest thing. And I got the sudden feeling that oh, if you lost audio, just recycle, yeah, just recycle the browser. There we go. So anyway, I was basically floating in midair, and felt this energy around me, and it basically was a feeling of that everything was going to be okay. But the exact thought that went through my mind, from my perspective, it was, this is the stupidest way ever to die. I was a very experienced rider, and I knew what I was doing with bikes. And the next thing I know, I'm you know, head over heels in front of my bike at 50 miles an hour, flying through the air, thinking I'm Superman. And, you know, and the minute that that happened, and I got the impression from whatever this was that was with me, protecting me, I suddenly came to back to regular awareness, and I crashed down, and it literally tore the shirt right off of me, tore my pants to smithereens, and I slid headfirst into the rock pile. And what ended up happening then was I came to, and the bike was on top of me, and it was burning my leg, the exhaust. And I got it off me, and the horn was stuck. And the guy that was racing me, he came over, got the bike, helped me get the bike off me. And I couldn't move my head. And I realized suddenly that the reason I couldn't move my head is because my helmet was pinned into the rock. And when I freed it, it actually had penetrated the helmet, and it grazed my skull. And so I came as close as I ever want to dying in an accident like that. It kind of impressed me how dangerous motorcycles can be if you think you're invulnerable when you're that young, and you find out you're not. But it was actually a spiritual experience. I mean, I really felt once again throughout that young part of my life that presence around, and it's just a wonderful thing because they're there. You know, when these things happen, when we have our life challenges, these things happen for a reason, and they give you a perspective that there's a little more behind things than what we are told. And that, I mean, and you, of course, all of you know that. I shouldn't be preaching, you know, to the choir here, but it's an experience I had, and I was just so reminded of it by, you know, Gary Busey, you know, his story. He was in a little different place. He was for many weeks, he was in and out of it. And then he came to, and he said he had, the right side of his brain had shut down, and he had literally been in another world, and he remembered it. And he became extremely spiritual. A lot of people have a lot of negative things to say about Gary Busey, but when I saw that interview and saw how his emotions were and how he reacted, it was just it was extremely moving. You know, you get to see, you know, his perspective of it, and he had an absolute certainty that things were, you know, that there was this other side and that everything was much different than what we're told. And so much of what, you know, we know, you know, doing mediumship and doing what we do in this business, he had all those experiences, and he had never done any of that before. It was not in his repertoire. So I just found that to be a very moving thing just before the show, and I thought I'd talk about it a little bit and, you know, compare my experience, you know, which was nowhere near as bad, but definitely interesting. I'm seeing TV has been winking on and off solar flares. You know, the sun has been going through quite an interesting time. There have been some strange solar activities going on, but overall the sun is almost it's almost like caught a cold. How do you say that? And it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. All the other solar cycles go from about 8 to 11, 12, 13-year cycles, generally 11 years, pretty much like clockwork. This time out, it's different. It's a much more muted cycle. And the only time that happened before where few sunspots appeared, that kind of thing, it's become pretty clear that that was related to the Maunder minimum. That's when the Little Ice Age occurred. Now, Quinny had something with the big black spot. I did see a big strange vapor ejection or something. There was some of this stuff going on that they've never seen before. And, yeah, it's going to have these occasional outbursts, but overall the sun is almost too quiet, you know, for what we should be seeing. It should be putting on one hell of a show right now, and it's really not. So, I think it's solar cycle 25 is what this should be. And now what do we got here? So it is doing some activity now is what Quinny is saying. July 16th, 1126 UTC, continued alert, electron 2 megavolt integral flux exceeded 1,000 PFU. So I guess that's meaning it's really kicking butt. So when it does go off, even in a minimum state, it's still able to put out a lot of energy, and we could see some weird stuff. The Little Ice Age, though, lasted about 300 years, and it's funny, it sort of just came on suddenly. Within a 10-year period, all sorts of things happened. And then on top of that, there was the year without a summer, where there was the volcano that erupted. And I'm going to kick this guest. Here we go. Guest, if you want to log in, get an account. You can be part of the fun. But anyway, that year without a summer was the, I think it was, I'm trying to remember the name of the volcano, but it was in the Pacific. And that thing went off, and it pretty much the entire year was just a bad year. There was the growing season worldwide was totally screwed up, and people were starving. I mean, it was terrible. So you know, and it's funny. My mother talks about in the early part of the 20th century, in the 1940s, she remembers elevations like where I'm at 1,500 feet here in the Sierras. Being 4 feet deep in snow, and we rarely see more than a foot here, you know, and think about it, 4 foot at that low a level. Pinatubo is what Nancy's talking about, a volcano in the Philippines. Scales activity does say there's no geomagnetic storm, no solar radiation storms, no radio blackouts. Yeah, so, you know, I think we're in the middle of some extraordinary times. A lot of the global warming hype is proving to be pretty much that. The solar output is going to be really markedly less, I think, at least the near future, and maybe far beyond that. So we may be having to get used to bundling up a little more. It has been extremely cool, too, here in our growing season. My squash plants are really having a tough time of it right now. I'm having to really push them to try to grow, and I'm giving them everything I can, but they need the heat. And we're just having nothing but cool weather out here, which in July, I mean, it should be just 108 here. You know, that's the norm for us, 108, 106, 103. But we're seeing 80s. So, you know, I'm hoping it gets a little warmer. You know, I'll complain about the heat a little bit, but we really need it. It's actually good for the environment. So, anyway, guys, I don't see any callers, so we're just going to continue on here. Let's see what we got going on here. I'm going to check Facebook real quick because I know I had is Gina going to come in here? I didn't see Gina. Oh, I see Daryl is going to be here. Brenda, come on, Brenda, you got to be on. Okay, and I got an old chum from high school was going to listen in. I hope he's not one of the guys I kicked out of the chat room, but you've got to log in, man. Register with Blog Talk. They'll love you. And then you can be part of all the shows. I am building an observatory, as some of you know. Been doing that. It's been about 3.5 weeks now doing that. I hit the big milestone today, 3 feet down for the telescope pier. Now, the way this works is you actually assemble, a cage of rebar, lower that down into the hole, and you pour a lot of concrete, and you have a special form tube that you can pour the concrete in, and then that's the basis of what you hook the telescope to. So I made a milestone today. I reached 3 feet this morning. I was out digging like hell. And I'm lucky because I was actually hitting the very end of the actual soil and starting to run into actual Sierra granite, which is a good thing. That means, once I put that thing in, it ain't going anywhere. It's going to be pinned right to the mountainside. So that project is well on its way. We should have the pier poured week after next. I have to do some machining for the interface between the telescope and the pier, and I'll post pictures on Facebook and maybe out here too. I'll post some pictures on the shows. So Gina, John, I'm locked out of showed. Well, I've started into my account. Oh, I'm sorry, Gina. You can't log in. Good Lord, girl. Well, Facebook me, and I'll watch. Matter of fact, if you chat on Facebook, because I got Facebook up, then you could do that. Yeah, I don't know if there's hackers doing that, but, we've got our detractors out there, and we know who they are. But, my best to all of them, tip of the hat to them, but they can go off and do their own shows. Ha! It's that show. That show! So, let's see. You folks on the East Coast have taken a beating with your winter weather. I have... I'm going to kick this guest. I don't know if it is Gina. She's probably going to kill me later. Anyway, oh, my God. No, once booted out as a guest, you can't come on for the duration of the show. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll be less quick on the boot button. I'll wait until folks pop out on their own and come back in. And if I see a guest out there for more than a couple of minutes, then we'll do that. Yeah, I'm a little quick on the draw there, guys. Sorry about that. So, Gina, I apologize. But anyway, let's see. We don't have any callers yet. Yeah, it's kind of a light night. I guess people are out doing their thing. Let's see what else before we get into some readings and some psychometry. What is this Tim saying? Boing? We say that about Boeing. We call them Boing because I work in the business, you know. I'm going to the shuttle, Space Shuttle Atlantis, I've been part of the program for pretty much my entire career. I've been actually in the processing room with the shuttle OMS engines, which are the most reliable spacecraft propulsion engine ever built. Those engines have never failed, and it's great to be part of a company building great products. So when you boot Tim, bouncing guests out. Okay, I'll be careful. I'll be careful with the boots. But it's really been a pleasure and an honor to be part of the whole program. And I've done I've actually worked with people who are directly working on the equipment and seen astronauts and done all that stuff. And I've never been able to get the time to actually go down and see a shuttle landing at Edwards. And we're hoping, against all odds, that the Cape landing that was planned is rained out or storms, which this time of year likely could happen. So if that happens, the shuttle had an extra day in orbit given to them, so they're going to land on the 21st. Now, if there's storms, they'll generally let them stay up another day or two to try to make the Cape, and if it doesn't work out, they'll go ahead and bring them down at Edwards. So if I get the word that this is happening, I will be hopping in the Mustang, and I'll take the cell phone and have my wireless broadband, and I may do a show on the road with the whole shuttle thing and take pictures and see it come in. So, for everybody out there, pray for me so that there's storms off the Cape. You know, I just want to see one of these things come in myself and see a spaceship come in. Been in this business too long, and I've been in the presence of engine firings and things like that. Real close to, actually it was 700 feet from the world's largest solid rocket motor when it fired. I was doing a broadcast for my company, a wireless broadcast, streaming. And when that thing fired, we had 92 seconds of the room just shaking to beat hell. And it was just amazing. So it was funny is when I went out there, we went out to the firing site afterwards, and we're walking around about 20 minutes later. And I walked where the plume had actually come out, about 150-foot plume from the motor. And my shoes started melting. It was something. That happened in 2001, just before 9/11. Yeah. Let's see. No callers yet. My God, you guys, nobody's going to call in? My goodness, what a light night tonight. So I'm just going to, excuse me, I'm going to take a drink here just a moment. See, we've got an hour 28 minutes left, and if nobody calls in, it's going to be a long night, but I will just plow on through. And you guys are having a conversation about the dust storm. I saw the whole thing with Phoenix, where they had the kind of a time lapse of that thing coming in. You remember that scene from the dust storm on what is the name of that show with the ring where they go through? Yeah, the Sandstorm and Mummy, and Stargate, the original Stargate, where they saw that storm coming in. That looked like a Hollywood effects thing, and it was so strange to see that it was actually very real. I didn't realize that I thought it was just like, oh, yeah, you know, it'll just be a kind of a gradual thing. And no, it's just this big wall of sand. I mean, my goodness. So a Iraqi dinar to revalue. What? Iraqi dinars? Where did that come from? Lord of the Rise? Okay. I don't know, Woo, what that's all about, but that's cool stuff. Let's see. It did. It looked like right out of the movies, Quinny. Let's see. Dead Air. Am I still on? Okay, yeah, I'm still on. You guys would be complaining if I was... I need a co-host. Good Lord. We need some banter. Somebody call in. 646-478-0377. Otherwise, I will play some music here. And let me see if Gina has popped over here. She's probably going to be... Well, Hazel likes my status. 11 minutes for showtime. Anyway, Lord of the Rings, Woo. What are you guys doing? Yeah, debt stuff. Yeah, that's been an interesting thing. I don't know what you guys feel about that. But, you know... there are a lot of people that want to see, that just want this to go away. But the trouble is you can't keep raising debt and keep having a credit card that goes on forever. You know, it's just it's got to stop someplace. And it's just going to be have to be that the credit card gets revoked. I think it'll be the best thing that ever happened to this guest. Free to join. Quick, go do it before John boots you out of the chat room. So you guess 10656 or 659. If you do log in, make sure that you do it in the next minute because I will boot you. So I'm watching. Anyway, this whole thing with the budget is just really disturbing to see because there's such implacable attitudes on both sides of the aisle. I happen to come from the persuasion that it should be the case that this government cuts its expenses. No more games, no more sitting there going back and forth. and, you know, saying, well, you know, we'll promise to cut in the future if you just let us raise it one more time. It's over. You know, it's over. It's done. Stop. Stop digging the grave. Stop. You know, just start cutting, you know, unessential, you know, services like the State Department. That's a good one. They don't do anything, do they? Take out, a bunch of the environmental protection agencies that should go. You know, all the report writers, you know, they can come up with, you know, get by on a quarter of that. Who else? They could probably get rid of, the Education Department could go because the states can handle that. They've been doing that for centuries. They can handle it. They don't need the federal government doing this for them. So goodbye, Education Department. There's a bunch of, you know, it's $500 billion back. I mean, let's get real, you know. It just doesn't take that much to think things through and see where the problem is. It's spending. So anyway, I'm on my political platform, but I'm going to go ahead and boot these guests because they're not – I think I know what's going on there. So they haven't signed out, so I'm going to go ahead and kick a little bit fast on the buttons. But tonight, it's that show. So I did the boot. Sorry. Kathy knows how it is. She's a veteran booter. I'll tell you what, you know, the money that's spent on the wars, we've been 10 years into this, and there needs to be a declared military end to this at some point. And we need to get out of that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't begrudge you that. But those are expenses that, you know, we've carried on, and the victory, you know, the idea of a victory. The whole point of war is that you go in and you kick ass and you take names and then you leave. That's a successful war. Going on with a never-ending movement, I think it's ridiculous, you know, to keep going that way. But at the same time, all this incredible growth of government and, you know, centralizing social services and turning us into a socialist country, no, it's not working. It'll never work, you know, and we need to get off of this this kick that we can spend our way into prosperity. It's just not working. So I really, you know, you and I as individuals have to be able to live within a budget, and we don't have endless credit cards, you know, thrown at us. The government has to do the same thing. It's that simple. The translation is that simple. It's an energy management problem. And if they don't figure this out, it's going to be a bad day for everybody on the planet because, you know, if this thing tips, it's going to be rough. There should be some honest dealing on both sides, and really honest dealing and thinking about us and the rest of the planet. But they're not doing that. So, you know, it's going to be a weird few weeks. So I don't know where it's going to go. But I personally think that if they go on a diet and learn how to get by on what they've got instead of trying to be all things to everybody, wow, you know. That would be the right way to go, in my opinion. But anyway, I mean, and there's room for differences of opinion. And Mary Lou Who, you're into unity. Well, guess what? That doesn't work in the world stage. There's a lot of different viewpoints, and a lot of people don't believe in that. And it'd be nice. It's a nice thing. And you hate war? Yeah, war sucks. You know, and there's an old book written by Sun Tzu, a Chinese general from back 5,000 years ago. It's actually a required study in U.S. military colleges. And this Chinese general was amazing. He wrote the ground rules for war, and the first rule was don't get into one. And, you know, appropriate use of spies and appropriate use of intelligence, and basically how to stay out of a war was their idea of success. And so, you know, and Mary Lou, I'll tell you this, with regard to the wars we're in right now, two of them I think are a little bit out there. The one that we did belong into, which was Afghanistan, you know, 9/11, when that happened, they came over there, they picked the fight. You know, the bottom line is we came close to vaporizing Afghanistan off the map that September. I mean, they came very, very close to it being no longer in existence. And Western Pakistan was nearly in the same boat. We should have a military goal. I know this is a spiritual show, but we're kind of going off into a little bit of a weird weeds here. But you know, it's a slow night. Nobody's calling in, so I get to say a few things. But I really think that if you're going to fight a war, have a military goal, go in, do it, get out. And that's going to be the best way to win. But the better way to win is not to get into one in the first place. But we have a defense capability for a reason, because these kind of people do exist out there, and they're going to try things. So it's a strange planet we live on. I wish things were different. You know, I really wish in this third dimension, from a spiritual perspective, that we did not need this, to have, you know, all these resources that could be better spent other places, dedicated to, you know, defense. I mean, it would be neat to be able to go in and put that into space and explore, and, you know, and be able to do things with food and science and all this great stuff. But the bottom line is, we saw what happened on 9/11, and we've seen repeatedly what happens when you let your defense capabilities degrade. And I've been in the business a long time, and I really believe that you have to keep a strong military, strong intelligence capability, and really pay attention to what's happening in the world. And then things get better. But the one thing I don't like, I really don't like making little old ladies and children get felt up at the airports to go get on a plane. I think that profiling is the way to go, you know, and I know that's not real popular with some views, but, you know, it's young men from certain countries from the ages of about 16 to 40 who tend to be the ones that are the problem generators. And those are the ones maybe you want to pull aside and have a talk with, you know. And I like the Israeli approach. You know, they have a really neat way of interviewing people, and they can tell who's a problem and who's not. And they leave the little ladies alone, who are no problem, and leave the little kids alone, who are not going to do anything. They go after the guy that, you know, has that funny look in his eyes. So, yeah, you guys are having it's quite a talk here. You know, Wu. You know, it's funny, the cost of the Iraq war, yeah, you're right, it's a big cost. Unfortunately, the current administration has dug us even in deeper, and when he said he was going to get us out of it, he didn't even do that. So, you know, it's funny. Once they get in there, I don't think it's – I think either party, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, I think once you get in there, you find certain realities and you just can't get out of it. It's really tough to be president, and, you know, it's easy to throw rocks at him. And I have a respect for the office. I'm not too much of a fan of this guy that's in there right now, but he's got to get up and face it every morning. And, you know, and my hope is he doesn't blow it up. So far, he's kept us out of anything really big, but, you know, I don't know. I just have a belief that, you know, if we live within our means, you know, the United States quits trying to be all things. And there's an old statement. It's taken out of historical, taken out of context historically, but that the U.S. Should beware of foreign entanglements, and it's attributed to George Washington, but not quite the way that history, you know, paints it. But the bottom line is, we should beware of foreign entanglements. Look what we've gotten into, and we should be just paying attention to our own business and not the rest of the world's. And this whole bit of you know, a single world government and all that, I don't trust that either. I think. This whole talk of like unity, unity is nice until you do get on the national level, and then everybody's got their own opinions, and that's why you have borders and countries and all that. So I do think that I think we got a long way to go. I think you can get along with other countries, and you can be You can be, it can be a much more equitable situation if people are. A little more genuine with each other, and not everybody's not out to, you know, play some little game. But, you know, once you get into government and those levels, it's a whole different rarefied atmosphere. I don't pretend to know all the answers, but you hope that those people leading are really aware of what they're doing and what they're affecting. So, you know, and we here, you know, are dealing with the spiritual output of all this. I mean, think about it. You know, you have, and I see you, caller, 918. I'll wrap this up and get right to you. So 918 will be picked up here in a couple of minutes. But, you know, the bottom line is we're facing hard times, you know, and it's very clear that we don't have the money in the coffers anymore, and we're having to depend on other nations to pay our bills. The United States, I mean, if you told me 20 years ago we'd be in this position, I would have told you you're nuts. But here we are, You know, so now we are being forced here at this level, you and I, the individual, to have to reach down deep and do things like grow our own food, you know, help our neighbors, look around at what we're doing, think about what would happen if things got a little bit worse, you know, think about what would happen if there was no money, you know, what would it be like with no money? And the whole thing with the Angelica talks about zeroing, she's saying, how do we zero in on our own psychic skills? I'm having out-of-body experiences that scare me. A lot of us are having strange experiences because what's happening with the world situation is such that a lot of us who have been really paying attention to our internal development are going through these strange things that basically are to help us to help others. So, you know, that's where we're at. Don't be scared about the things that come in like this. When you have, you know, if it's a new experience, regard it as a new experience and then seek the answers. Now you're asking here, how do you zero in on your psychic skills? You know, that's a deeply personal thing. But what I will say is look at it from, you know, the message that you're getting. You know, when you're having out-of-body experiences, obviously you're going someplace. Where is that place you're going? Write it down. Talk it out with other people who have experience doing out-of-body work, you know, who do know what astral travel is. Go to the local metaphysical store. Talk with others. Get on Facebook. Come on these shows. Talk, because what you'll start finding is there's a lot of commonalities. And the best thing, too, yes, Wu is exactly right, meditation. Meditation will help you. I meditate every day. I don't take it to excess. You know, you can go too far with it, but I tend to go twice a day. I can meditate actually while I'm out walking and doing things. I can run energy, and you're running energy down from your crown chakra down to the ground, and at the same time from the ground up through. And this is how you are able to accelerate your chakras and do the different things that keep them clean and functioning properly. It has a lot to do with how your body operates too. So, get in there and learn. Go to Google. Believe it or not, Google has all, you know, just Google it, and you'll find all sorts of great information. And follow your heart. That's the other big thing. Follow your heart. Your heart is the best thing ever. If you can, Kathy's warning. I had my hand on there. I was pulling the trigger out already to get that guest. So, anyway, log in quick before I boot you. You got 1 minute there, guest. So anyway, but follow your heart, you know, follow your heart. That's the biggest thing in spirituality. That's the biggest thing there is in being who you are. It's like tonight, you know, I started kind of on a bit of a combative note about, and it's my heart speaking, because I am not going to be told by somebody what I can say or not say on my show. You know, I don't feel that someone has that right to walk in and give me orders because they're threatened by my very existence. That's their problem, not mine. You know, so I'm following my heart and I'm declaring my independence, you know. And by the way, I've been, you know, I was sick for a whole year and it's, you know, I've been off and on, you know, and now I'm getting back to the regular schedule. And by God, I feel good. I feel the best I've felt in a long time. I mean, yeah, they took out a little piece of me. You know, I'm 97.8% here. There's 3% that's gone. It's got burned up in some incinerator someplace, but I feel pretty good. So, a guest, I see you still out there. You're not going out, so I'm going to go ahead and kick you. You know, you had your chance if you recycle. Anyway, so, guest, free to join. And I'm, you know, by the way, Kathy, I am warning people to don't do that. You know, don't come in and just sit around being a guest. I have put that out there. It's a new requirement. Anyway, I'm going to bring 918 on and find out who we got there. So, and 918, when I bring you on, just tell me your name and where you're from, and we'll jump right into it. Okay, you are on 918.
Hey, can you just put me on mute for a few more minutes?
Oh, I could put you on mute for a few more minutes. sorry about that. I did not see. You know what? I'm so used to seeing the caution signal, which is instead of the hand, I'm sitting there forgetting this. Okay, so we'll be back to you in a few more minutes. Okay. Just raise your hand when you're ready.
Sure.
All right. Oops, cut her off too soon. God, I'm too quick on this thing. That's too quick. Anyway, so we got her on hold there, and we'll put her. Yeah, and now it's got a counter. Oh, that's neat. Learned something new every day on this darn new Blog Talk studio. I like the new studio they got. Yeah, Quinny says here, you have the most problems with it when you don't trust your abilities. That's exactly right. You know, it's funny, when you first start doing the, you know, astral travel, bathroom break, it can be rough. And it's, when you come back in, Angelica was talking about a hard landing. Angelica, I don't know about you, but, I mean, you know, when you come in, you ever wake up and you kick? You have that sudden jerk that you're jerked out of bed, you know, and you're like, you wake up, go, what the hell was that? And then you realize, I think I was out of body. And it's like a hard landing, and your body just jolts when your spirit jumps back in. And it's the strangest thing. And I haven't done that for a while, and I haven't had that experience. I used to do it quite a bit. Yeah, you have to control how fast you go. You need to keep your anxiety down. Now, that's the thing I'd like to do, is be able to manage waking, the waking ability to do that, the waking ability and to control the whole process to be able to do astral travel as an awake thing. That's something I've done astral travel a number of times, but for me, you know, the mediumship is so much easier. You know, I can talk to spirits, but leaving the body is a little tough. I don't know, you know, and it would be interesting to find somebody who's really experienced to teach that, and I would be a willing student with somebody who could help me with that. So if one of you do know that real well, get in contact with me. I'd like to compare notes with you. So anyway, what do we got here? We are at, we got 1 hour, 8 minutes left. Got a bunch of new people in. We got, let's see, I'm going to do a read off here. And then I'm going to put on a little bit of music for a few minutes, and I'm going to get a drink and stretch a bit. It's kind of good for the host to do that, you know, crack a few muscles here and make things kind of, you know, get the blood running. So I'll tell you what, we got Almost Heaven is here, Angelica 56, Kathy's Distant Echoes, Cause to Talk. You have a cause to talk. Gerber Daisy TM, we got Mona 18. And the other 17 were great, but the 18 is the best. Nancy Mum is here. Hello, my dear. Big hug to you. Quinny is here. I love you, too. Tone, T-O-N-E. And let's see. Tim Zuhl is here, a paranormal entrepreneur and filmmaker and gadgeteer like me. And Wu Quinn, who is a worthy debater with me about all things political, and I respect his opinion greatly. Let's see. We have a 650 caller out there. I do see you with your hand up. Tell you what, I'll take a real short break just to get some water down my craw. Stand up a minute, and then we'll be right back. So, and then we'll go ahead and take that caller. So I see the two of you out there, but the 650, I will bring you on here shortly. Okay, this is SoulStream, that show. And we will be back here in about not a minute or so. Let's see, what do we got? Let's do the Ghost Rider bumper. There we go.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to SoulStream on blogtalkradio.com.
That's right.
With the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
And we're back. Did a little stretching there. Got some stuff to drink. We are back. Full room tonight. Good to see you. It was kind of a slow warm-up to see everybody coming in. But, hey, good to see you guys. Saturday, by the way, a little announcement on schedules. I've been dealing, of course, with my father's situation, and we have had kind of an odd year. The number of shows were definitely fewer than what I would like. But we are going to be pretty much on a Saturday-Sunday schedule from now on. And occasionally, if it's a special night, I will do a midweek show. And, of course, if somebody wants to have me on their show occasionally, I will gladly accept invitations. But Saturday nights, 9:30, and then Sundays we'll be doing interview shows. We're going to start doing interview shows with different folks. There's a few people in this room who I'm going to be extending invitations to interview. I see one of them almost at the top of the list. I've been wanting to have her on the show, but she doesn't know it yet. One of you is out there that I would like to interview, and it's actually several more of you. So we will be putting a list together, and I'll be contacting you through whatever means. You'll suddenly see my mug appear on your Facebook page or whatever in your mail, and we'll see if we can get you on. So, it's going to be good to be getting back to a regular thing, and I feel real good about it. What I have learned is that I can also do some of the shows. If I do find I've got a problem with Dad, we'll do some rebroadcasts of past shows so we can keep things going and keep the schedule running a little more smoothly. So we are getting back to that. But anyway, we've got callers, and we've got a full room here. Almost Heaven, we've got Angelica59, Kathy's Distant Echoes, Cause to Talk, Daniel Adam, Gerber Daisy, Mona18, Nancy Munn, Philly Fever, Quinny Tone, Tim Zuhl, and Wu Quinn. And we are going to bring the 650 caller in, followed by 918. So let's go ahead and bring 650. And what's your name and where are you from? You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm on your
Hi,
Facebook.
Hi, Carol. Oh, my God, you're on my Facebook. Oh, no, that's a disaster.
I know, yeah.
Anyway. Gotta do something about that.
I know, yeah. People know too much.
Oh, my God.
Well, my question is, you know what? I have a cousin whose daughter killed herself, like, back around 1995. And I was wondering if anything comes up on that with you that you might know why she did it. Her name was Jennifer.
Okay.
And that was, like, in Fairfield, California.
All right. Don't tell me anymore. But I got plenty here. She was a confused young woman. I don't think she was a bad girl. You know, the thing I get with her is that she was extremely, I get responsible early on in her life, but things got a little out of control. And I get she got into a little bit of trouble that she couldn't get herself out of. And I'm also getting a little bit of pushing from some peers. And I don't think that was it had a lot to do with it, but she was the one that ultimately, I think, had something to do with, you know, my impression is she did it to herself. She did kill herself, right?
Yes, she did.
I mean, it was suicide. But it might as well have been, I'm getting two other people kind of had a hand in pushing it. That's just
really?
the instinct that I get is just peer pressure from is part of it, but it's not the entire answer.
No.
There's something that's just eluding me, and I'm getting, I don't want
when
to say it on air. That's how.
When you said she's in trouble with, like, was she pregnant or?
Yeah, that was kind of where I was going with it. I'm getting the feeling that she was getting in deep with some things that she shouldn't have been in, and she had that little problem going on too. I just get that she got overwhelmed. You know, I'm getting overwhelmed, and didn't know what way to turn and which way to get out of it, and just panicked. You know, I didn't want to dishonor
her. And her mom was remarried, so was there anything with that stepfather? Or? He just was, like, too cool through the whole situation.
That, yeah. I think that that could be a contributing factor. I mean, it's extremely, the whole thing just has me kind of feeling weird. I mean, the situation was not good at the home front, but I feel like there was other things that were going on, too, in her life, and the kind of people she was around, in addition to the home life, didn't do her any good. So I think it was just a kind of an amalgamation of these, you know, those forces all together. If the father was involved in it and too cool, then that could actually be something that'd be looked into. If she, you know, was she buried, you know, in a cemetery?
Yeah. This was 1995, so it's been a while, but.
Well.
And since then, my cousin's divorced that guy, but I don't know. There's just something about him I just have never.
I would suspect there was some things that went on that were not right there, and I think that had
a
contributing force. Pardon me?
Do you think he was touching her? Or?
I think it went. Just my instincts are that this was not a good situation. Let's just say that. Yeah,
wow.
It would be worth keeping an eye on the situation with regard to him. There's someone in my life who was a little bit odd, shall we say, who had a tendency to do certain things, and that person is no longer around. But that person also has several eyeballs from different folks in our family keeping an eye on what happens. And more than aware of what the proclivities are, and you know, kind of we pick up the phone when certain things happen. Let's just say that.
Uh-huh.
And that's a smart thing to do.
Well, he's kind of out of the picture now. I mean, she's split up with him, and he's out of the picture. But I just had a feeling that he was touching her or something. It was just too weird.
The thing I get was she was like a little bird trapped. Kind of a trapped animal, and it was she was sending all the right signals, but nobody was responding correctly. I just don't think she was getting the help she needed, and she didn't see a way out, you know. And
mm-hmm.
when this happened, I mean, she just basically, you know, panicked. And this has happened again and again through, you know, over history. I mean, this is a recurring theme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stepfather, stepchild, you know, relations. It's one of the bigger problems with having those sorts of things, you know, those relationships
okay.
in the house. I mean, men can feel like it's allowed, and women do this too. I mean, it's an equal opportunity crime, you know. So you really have to watch out, you know, and really pay attention, especially if you're the biological parent. You really do care about your children. You really need to watch.
Yeah,
but
I really watch a lot.
The thing I'm getting with her. Did she have strong spiritual values? Was she like a little more grounded spiritually than most kids? I mean, because I'm just
being
really strong.
She was more like an adult than a child. I mean, when she did this, she was 15 years old. But she was always treated like an adult, even from my aunt and uncle, who have been gone now for a while. They never treated her like a child. So that's part of the, you know, part of the problem is that she never got... You know, she never got birthday parties with a bunch of little kids and, you know, all that kind of kid stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? And so that, and my cousin's was real anal about her house and keeping it clean and no, you can't have friends over, they dirty the house. And, you know, so.
Well, I just get the
feeling. My cousin's very uptight. She's still alive. I mean, and the guy that she was married to is still alive. And the father of the girl is still alive. He doesn't live around here anymore, but. I've just always thought that there was something else to this.
I would trust your instincts on this, number one. The other thing is, have you ever had any dreams of her? I get the feeling that she never really, I feel like she crossed, but she likes to come back around. I mean, I think she actually fully crossed over. I don't think she's like haunting a spot per se, but I do feel that she's made her presence known. the various family members and such, and does come around. So, you know, if you start, especially if you're thinking about her quite a bit, that can be a sign that she's definitely around, and you want to pay attention to that. And if you start having dreams, get that written down, and definitely pay attention to those instincts, because that's the sign that they're around. You know, when they start making us think of them, and then, you know, you think of a song that, you know, you reminded you of them, and suddenly that song's on the radio, or you're driving along, and suddenly you're having a thought, and then you see a sign, you know, that is unmistakably like something they would be that would be remind you of them. That can be them. You know, they go to great lengths to get our attention.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, I totally believe.
Yeah,
that.
So I just feel it, but I feel like she's A-okay on the other side. She did not really want to go. I think this was more of a cry for help that got out of control. And she just
shot herself in the head. So, I mean, it's not like you could bring them back from that.
Well, I think she was doing this more before. I think there was some attempts before, and she was trying to get attention.
That I don't know about. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was some things that were happening that rather dramatic that were kind of covered up. That would be the way to put it.
Okay.
And that she would, those things were kind of not dealt with correctly. If let's put it this way, if any of those things had been dealt with correctly with therapy and somebody stepping in and the right people, she'd still
sure.
be here.
She'd still be
but
here.
That didn't happen, and so she did the ultimate thing, which she saw no hope, and she she ended it, and that's just
very
and
sad,
she's
yeah.
dealing with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's people who have a lot to say about suicide, you know, with regard to, quote, spiritual punishments and different things like that. It's not the way it works over there. Basically she went through healing and continues to go through healing over there. And they go to a little bit of a different place to rest, relax, and get the teachings and work through those difficulties they had before they're ready to come back into, the regular into regular afterlife, and then choose to come back again, it's dependent on the case and how and what happened in that life. But some of those lives are in agreement that they're gonna do these things. You know, they're gonna go in and learn a particular thing, and then they're gonna exit out at a certain point, likely at their own hand. So
it's
rough on us here, you know.
For everyone, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really rough on us here because it's so brutal, you know, especially a beautiful girl who just, does something like that. That had to be rough for her to do that, you know.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, so honestly, though, I do feel she's around. Pay attention. I mean, this has been on your mind for several months now. I mean,
it comes up on my mind every once in a while on, like, what the hell is going on in that house? I don't have a comfortable feeling of something. My cousin just sold the house now, actually a couple months ago, and she's going to remarry again. And I'm just like, oh boy.
Yeah. Have you? Do you still go over there?
Mm-hmm. I still see them. Yeah. In fact, my other cousin lives up your way. And
well, what I would say is go in, and next time you're there, just kind of open up your senses. If you have a chance to just sit alone, visit and just kick back, and then see what happens. See what you sense, because you may pick up on her. You may pick up on some things that get played back for you, and you may get some truths out of that, being right there where it all happened. So.
Oh, that house is just recently closed. No, I can't go back to that home.
Oh, you can't go back there?
No,
okay.
Not that home anymore, but yeah. It's just... picked up anything in the home. Of course, I wasn't thinking about it. Whenever I went to the house, I never thought about it. I tried to block it out when I was in that house because, if I spent the night, I'm just like, I don't want to think about what happened in this house. But I was kind of glad my cousin finally sold the house. It's just like... time to move on and get rid of this house, and now she's going to remarry. But I don't know if it was her that did anything. Although she was very uptight and anal, but the guy she was married to, I don't know. He divorced her, and he's very strange.
Well, I would.
He doesn't even have contact with his own daughter now.
I would say those are pretty strong indicators that you got a bit of a funny one there. And the thing to be, even though he's, quote, out of the picture, people talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of keep tabs. And if you start hearing about a situation, sometimes it's just, you know, there's ways to get information out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have a feeling he's got a bit of a tendency. And that young woman got into a situation that was just not good, and she saw no out. And she didn't know how to quite get the help. So, yeah.
He would find her, not her mother. So he was the one who found her. And I think that was her plan.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, that's a real permanent thing. You know, there were other options, and I just think it's one of the saddest things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I honestly, hon, I think that she's making her presence known to you, you know, and she's wanting it to be told, and there's a reason for you questioning this. And the next step is, you know, what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me, it means keeping an eye on him. You know, that would be the message I'd get out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
thanks.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now. And let's see. We got 10:41. We got about 45 minutes. 48 minutes left on air. 918, we're going to go ahead and bring you on. You had your hand up, and you're ready now?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? We're on Verizon here.
My name is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
I'm from Oklahoma. Do you need a little bit of break after that last call? Are you okay?
Oh, I'm good to go. Hey, yeah, I'm doing fine. I got my drinks in front of me. I stretched. Everything's good.
That's good.
All right.
On your type of show, what do you focus on? I'm new to Blog Talk, and I'm a clairvoyant audience, and worked on murder cases.
Oh, you are?
Before.
Uh-huh. You have? You've worked on murder cases?
Yeah, back in my early 20s, and I worked with unsolved mysteries, and I mean, I'm not
very
trying
cool.
to get my own tone, you know, I'm looking for people that I can have on my show as well, like you were talking earlier, and so you seem to have a good manner about you. I like that.
Well, thank you. What we do here is, it's funny because we started off
mm-hmm.
doing just a general paranormal show, and I run a paranormal team out here in Northern California called Ghost Rider Investigations.
Oh, okay.
And I've also been part of a family that grew up doing mediumship. And it's been an interesting experience living my life because half of it is science and the other half is touchy-feely earth people. But the other thing that's happened has been we do on-air EVP. There are nights where we'll have different folks come on and ask for that to be done, and then we'll do actual on-air spirit voices. And
wow.
We have the tools and technology to do
that.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's... it takes a little setup. I'm not quite set up tonight for it, but I'll tell you
okay.
what. Tomorrow night, I will be glad to do some of that. I can have the studio all set to go, and it's just a matter of. But generally, what we do there is we have about a minute's worth of recording. We have the person who's dialed in ask two questions,
mm-hmm.
and then we go in and run the analysis. And it's amazing what comes through. You know, people walk away pretty blown away. I'm like an EVP magnet. I don't know what it is. I don't know how I do it, but they like talk to me. And you know, I listen in, and I've got the ear for it.
You think differently. You think very quickly. And I think some spirits are very attracted to that energy in our thought life. Not a lot of people think anymore. If you sit and contemplate that. I mean, think of people in your life. Do they really think?
It is an interesting thing. It's funny. In my university training, I mean, critical thinking is a skill set. That's actually something that's taught. And there are people who do it naturally, but it's an acquired
mm-hmm.
skill for a lot of other folks. A lot
this
of folks react rather than think things through. And it's
correct.
It's an acquired skill. I was a little bit in the middle. I would think things through, but I tended to be impulsive, and I had to learn to pull that back, you know. And so now as I've aged,
I think 52 because this of the week, energy, how you think so quickly, it's just your body reacting to that energy in your thought life. You know, you have to learn to balance, like you've balanced your mediumship with your science, your empirical sciences. You know, you found
yeah.
some balance in life. You feel very balanced to me. But I think the difference in you is your thought patterns.
It's,
and if you can concentrate on that, you could have more control of it. There's
well,
no
it's
doubt
funny.
In my life.
I'm doing regular meditation, and I'm actually doing a program right now called The Greatest Salesman in the World, and
yeah.
it has these 10 scrolls, and I'm as of tonight, I'm actually going to scroll number 2, so I've done 30 days of scroll 1, and you read it, you know, they say to read it 3 times a day, and I have it on my Kindle, and I have my Kindle read it to me, so I at night before I go to bed, I just play it. I listened to it, and I've had more stuff going on than you can believe just from doing this little program.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the balance you're talking about, you're exactly right, because I found that, balancing that you can't be psychic and mediumistic all day long. It doesn't work
yeah.
that way. You know,
yeah,
you have to get
your
hands
really
dirty.
Unless you really isolate
yourself,
you know? Then it's more possible. That's what I've done this summer, is I really isolated myself. But occasionally I don't know what time it is, and I lose days.
Do you feel like you're out of balance at this point?
No. And just in spirit world, there's no time. So
I don't know. For me, it's funny. I can do it to a point, and then I have to pull back and go do things that, you know, it's like I'm doing the astronomy, and I'm doing, I'm gardening, and I get my hands in the earth, and it just grounds
right.
me. And there you go. Then you're doing things like you are doing other things, mm-hmm. you know, that do balance you out,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you can't be out there all the time, open all the time. You know, it's
yeah, I know. I'm just indulging this summer. Just indulging. You know,
oh, you're indulging.
That,
okay.
Well, I mean, you know, there's some people that use different substances. You know, I use that and I really enjoy it. And I always have. That's where I feel comfortable.
What sort of substances? I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm just talking about, you know, other people, you know, they'll drink, they'll do this, you know, they'll inhale, and, you know, I don't do that.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I might have a glass of wine, but, you know, I don't need that to achieve what I need to achieve. And You know,
that's funny. I did the little experimentation I did as a teenager and then decided afterwards, I had a little help making the decision, but bottom line, it was my decision, and I finally I was asked by somebody who really cared about me. He said, "Is this what you want to do the rest of your life? And you know, what do you really plan for yourself?" And I went off by myself and thought it through and went, "Yeah, this is dumb." And you know, I did a show once where we did do margarita night here, but but I mean, about once or twice a year, I kill that bug that gets in a certain place, and that's about it. Occasionally, you do need to just let your hair down, but that's about it. You know, but doing drugs and doing things that affect your brains, nah, you know,
I don't need that.
To damage it too much, you know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I
agree.
Don't need
I mean, same thing.
I'm trying to say, you know, did you think of becoming an engineer at one point? Like
I'm
going
into
engineering?
Well, you're dead on the money because, you know, there was a time I was going to be a chemical engineer, and my father worked
well
in aerospace.
That.
Well, it was a little trouble. The kind of materials that, you know, my family have worked with on my dad's side,
uh-huh.
my father got picked up 50 feet and set on fire and thrown like a rag doll across the laboratory. And when I got to the hospital, he implored me not to do this kind of work. And so what I did is I looked at it, and it was a pretty dramatic moment because his eyes were burned. He had actual chemical burns in the eyes. And
Did he not have more information than they wanted him to have?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Oh, never mind. Go ahead. He had chemical burns on his eyes.
Yeah, he had the chemical burns, but I'll tell you this much. He was very, very good at what he did. He did a lot of very interesting work in a lot of different organizations. And he basically told one individual not to formulate this stuff a certain way. And it ended up, when he went to inspect the batch of this fuel, he actually saw a little black spot appear. And he jumped for his life because he knew it was about ready to blow up. And he
right.
thought it was going to actually explode, but what it did is it flared, and it blew a hole in the ceiling, and the concussion picked him up and set him on fire while it was doing that. He actually, his lab coat was on fire. But he got a very rare type of injury. He had plastic glasses on, safety glasses, and the propellant was so hot, it actually vaporized the inside of the these glasses, and the fumes actually went into the eyeball, both eyes.
Wow.
And he was the second person in the United States ever to have that injury. So he was very sensitive to light for a long time, and it took 25 years for that to get over it. But I decided as a result of that to go into computing, and I ended up, I've had a very successful 26 years, and I was corporate webmaster for my company. I was a pioneer in the internet. And I'm coming up on retirement, and I'm handing it off to a new generation, and I feel good about what I've done. And I want to go into this work, and I've got some ideas for science that I want to try kind of on my own and probably
start my own little side. Are you in Northern California?
Yeah, I'm Northern California.
You're starting this new thing. You like the movie Avatar, right?
Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Well, I had met up with the man who invented the language that they use, and Paul Frommer. You probably never heard of him. Anyway, last year, I think it was October or November, they had a meeting of people from all over the world. There was quite a few from Iceland for some reason. They came to Northern California. And there's a whole group of them that speak the language, and they think differently. I think you would really get inspired by them. That might be something you would like. No, I'm being serious. You know, they think differently.
No, it's like the guys who speak Klingon, you know? I mean,
yeah, I just love that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a real language. I mean, you have to invent these things.
Well, he's a linguist.
And then,
it is a real language, and he told people
how
he developed it. And, you know, they're shooting the second film right now. And, you know, it's quite interesting. That something I was thinking about going to in the fall, but I might be in Africa, so I don't know.
Well, you get around. You get around.
Oh, I'm just a single mom from Oklahoma. I mean, but it's funny how life leads you down a certain path. And, well, I mean, I choose that path, but I shouldn't say it like that. So,
you seem to be a very free spirit. You know, you've got a free spirit written all over you. But yet you're kind of controlling the whole darn game.
Because I don't want to be in public.
Pardon me?
I don't want to be in the public. I'd rather be behind the scenes and, you know,
my
mother's family. Go ahead.
It's funny. You're the second person to say that to me in the last week. Somebody I really have a lot of technical respect for just said that to me. Mm-hmm. Didn't like the public eye and preferred the back.
I mean, that's my thought of hell. That's my thought of hell, you know, and just like on my chart, my astrological chart. All my plans are below the horizon. I do not want to be in the public. I have a creative chart like none other. You know, that's the reason why I get sick quite often. You know, inflammatory diseases and, you know, just different conditions. You know, now I understand it quite a bit more and really enjoy astrology, though I don't have the knowledge to interpret a chart. That takes a lot of work and expertise, and that's not where I put my energies, so...
Yeah. Well, that's why you have people
who
are good at that. I mean, you just depend on them, yeah.
Yeah, there's a guy on Blog Talk, Matthew, what's his last name? Oh, my goodness, he was so spot on. Oh, I'm sure your listeners would know who I'm talking about. He appears on a lot of the astrology Blog Talk shows. You should have him on. You would really click with him. His last name starts with a C, I believe. I can't quite remember.
I think Gina Alzente, she's big into that, and I accidentally booted her on the show tonight. I feel bad, but she would know. She's big on all the folks that know that.
I think
you
and him could have a really good show together. You're like-minded, and I think it would work well. I think it really would. And I've never had anybody.
You strike me as a producer.
Me?
Yeah.
I like to direct things from behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, there's doors I can walk through that some people try for 20 years just to get to the door, and I can easily walk through it. My mother's family's very political, and, you know, just I think coming from a family that's been long established in the States, it matters, like all those different groups your father was a part of. There's no doubt in my mind that your father's family has been here for a great deal, or from England. Am I wrong or right?
My father's family, in terms of what, just events and different
background.
Things that have happened?
Background.
Let's just say this. My grandfather was a research neurosurgeon and pioneered a lot of brain surgery techniques that are still in use today.
The dendrites, synapses, and I'm interested
yeah,
in myelin repair. You know what myelin is, right?
Yeah, it's
the
a sheath, I think,
the,
on the,
yes,
yeah,
the
nerve. Yeah,
because I think that's the key to a lot of our diseases, like, well, not that autism is a disease, but certainly a disorder, MS. And I think if we can get it to where we can repair the myelin, we won't have near the disease that we have now.
Yeah, well, a lot of the environmental troubles uh-huh. because of, you know, there's 400 to 500 new chemicals invented daily, different compounds, and we just can't keep up with the
well,
level
and how
of
our vaccinations are. If people really knew, if people yeah. had any concept, I mean, the best thing I can tell people is if you can think of China and how they develop toys, all the lead in the paint, think of this, they're the number one producer of vaccines in the world. Where does your vaccine come from? You need to
yeah.
research that like no other, you know. Just, but that's like my personal platform.
Well, I'll tell you, yeah, you're spot on. There's, although England, I wouldn't say so much England. Although, you know, my grandfather, he practiced here on the West Coast,
well,
and also
spent a lot of time in England. I don't know who.
Oh. My mom's side, well, that's a different story. There's, you know, there's Scottish Highlanders all over the place,
mm-hmm.
And then we had some people let's just say some Scottish folks ended up in the English crown, and we also had one other line of the family actually turned out to be smugglers.
mm-hmm.
And they owned the Isle of Man, and we used to have for the rent of one falcon per year, we had the Isle of Man all to ourselves until we got caught with the smuggling thing, and then the king took the Isle of Man back. You know, they
well,
get funny about that. They like their taxes, you know. So yeah, but yeah, it Grandpa, yeah, he had quite a technical background. My father. You know, equally did amazing stuff. There's things that one day I'll talk about it when I can. Let's just say that
I do hear you. There's lots of things I cannot say either, but I can hear
yeah.
you feeling your voice.
Yeah,
but what
he was a he. What's that?
What do you see anything around me about me? Take your drink of water.
Yeah, that's good. You're right.
You were thinking too quickly.
No, I'm just, you're a complex
no, you were.
Case. You are very complex.
That's funny.
Why do I see pink all around you, and I don't know why I saw pink. The first thing I saw was pink.
Candlelight,
pink.
Maybe? I have 7 flames going, so.
Oh, really?
Is, you?
Is it kind of a pink gold color, kind of a pinkish? Is there a reddish
well,
kind of glow around you?
More
or?
A, it's more like a yellow, you know, kind of like a yellow flame, you know, where it bounces off the walls. And,
okay.
No, when I make phone calls like this, I really want to be grounded, you know.
You're pretty
does
good.
That, make sense?
That makes sense. Absolute sense. Yeah. I mean, it does.
Uh-huh. That's why I said I want put me on mute because I was running my water and just.
It's funny, you know. I'm finding that kind of essential for me anymore. I tend to when I used to do just jump into meditation and stuff. Now I tend to like to shower and water, get water on me before
well,
I do that.
Use salt, yeah. Also, you know, salt one of the basic elements, the 7 basic elements. You know, use it to wash your hands with after you get done with a caller. It will cleanse
yeah.
you. That's the reason why I wanted you to drink that water. You know, I know a lot of people say that's Wicca, you know, to put a ring of salt around your bed when you sleep, but it can help you sleep more clearly. It really can, you know, and I take salt baths where I clean my chakras, and it makes a big difference, even in my health.
I use, it's funny, I've used salt for years just for, and it's not Wiccan, by the way. That's a very, very, very old thing, you know.
Well, they elude that, and a lot of people, the general public. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was saying for your listeners, that it's not a Wicca thing for me. It's more of a metaphysical, a cleansing thing. And even on the periodic table, it's one of the seven basic elements.
Absolutely. But it's I was having back trouble all this year, getting back to, mm-hmm. you know, because I've had surgery and been through so much. And I found that the salt baths were essential, and I really several times a week I use salt baths, and it's really been helping because I have my gallbladder out.
Hot springs?
What's that?
You didn't need that gallbladder out. Hot springs. Do you ever go to like places where they have natural hot springs? That would be really good.
Actually,
for you.
Actually, there's a place called Harbin Hot Springs. It's not too far from Napa. And I've been aching to get out there, and it is
an
absolutely
in Arkansas
beautiful place.
Also, Eureka Springs, Hot Springs, and if you're in Arkansas too, you can dig up your own diamonds and keep them. They're the only state in the union that has a diamond park. It's a national park.
Right.
That's kind of fun. And then they have a place where you can dig up crystals. That's not a national park. You have to pay for the bucket or pay for the day, and what you dig up, you keep.
I like that kind
of
thing.
Like
it's funny. I don't know how you tied into that because it's funny. I have my mother and me both collect different kinds of stones. And you keyed right in on that. And I know a little bit about that place. And we've wanted to once certain things open up in our lives.
For money.
Yeah.
Go in the fall. They have cabins that you can rent like $30 a night on their off season. Their off season starts in October. You'll want to go ahead and purchase your, I don't know if you would fly or drive, but you'd want to go ahead and make your own scrim, all that good stuff, because you have to rent those. Those are a little costly. You know, bring your own shovel or buy a shovel at the Walmart there and donate it to some charity after you leave.
Yeah, don't want to go through the security with that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, that's something somebody in Arkansas could use. And the economy hurts everywhere. And you know, or find a rancher, farmer, you never know. And you're good at doing that.
Well, the thing I get with you is, I got the pinkish energy, which I believe in the candlelight, I think you're dead on. You're already talking about the travel to Africa, but I get like more travel before that.
I don't know if I'll really go to Africa or not, but where do
I'm
you
getting
you
more travel. I get more travel, and I'm trying to get the direction.
Okay, I'm in Oklahoma, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm getting it. It's somewhere to the southwest, so it's going to be like I'm getting you traveling, and I get a feeling it's going to be a fun, nice trip. But I don't think you got it. Yeah, if you got family to the southwest, are they southwest?
I have
to you?
Two daughters, and they're home educated, as my family has been for centuries. You know, we can travel. I don't have to take my kids out of school because I am their teacher. You know, I thought about getting an RV and traveling. I thought about it. I don't have the funds to do it right now, but you never know.
Well, you're in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to put a finger on it, it's going to be New Mexico, Colorado area, and I don't know why. So I'm just getting this like you're being pulled there for whatever reason. Durango. I don't know what Durango has, why I'm getting Durango, but Durango area.
College there. And the guy that's working on myelin repair right now, he's working on his doctorate, is in Colorado. So, and he's wanting to study my daughters and I. We have auditory processing disorder severely, where like a lot of noise is very distracting. That's why I'm like, big crowds, that's hell for me. And for those that do not know, auditory processing disorder is where
you say something, but it's difficult for me to comprehend what you say, like the processing, the auditory processing nerve that's in the ear does not function correctly. However, just like if you're deaf, you have other senses that come up. And when I read, I can see things that other people never could. Like my older one, when she was 11, she was already testing at a college sophomore level in reading comprehension. You know, public school just did not work for her. You know, my youngest had autism. Why put
I
my
know
children
the feeling.
That hell? And it was hell for them. My youngest daughter's never been to a public school in her life. And she wrote her first book last year. They said she would never talk or jump on her feet up and down like a normal child. Because when she had her vaccine reactions, her intestines bled, she had seizures, and her muscles started to deteriorate. She was 8 months old. Took forever for her to walk.
It's funny. And, the parallels are so striking here because I'm one of the very few fully recovered aphasics in the world. And I had what's called acquired aphasia. Pardon me?
I don't think people know what aphasia is.
Aphasia is there's expressive and receptive aphasia and then acquired aphasia. And what it is the brain can be injured to the point where you are not able to communicate effectively. And it can cause, it has to do with similar to the auditory processing. The speech centers are actually damaged to the point where you cannot express yourself correctly. You'll have a full thought, but what comes out with speech is one or two words. And it was a result of my birth, and I was actually injured at birth. And my grandfather.
Sure it wasn't a vaccine?
No, that it was birth. Trust me. Oh, okay. Trust me. I was supposed to be C-section, and I was 22 inches long and about 12-pound baby. They grow them big in Texas. But my mother was very petite.
There's a 16-pound baby the other day.
It was a tough birth. And when I came out of it, I was 9 years in speech therapy. And I ended up, my grandfather put me on I was one of the first research programs he did with this. And he was motivated to, do something for me because I was his first grandson. So I went through that.
Did your grandfather
teach actually
Oklahoma, Robert?
No, his name was Dr. Albert A. Almada, and he was actually very well known throughout the Western and Midwest. He actually had radio stations he owned. My family has a broadcasting background, actually. We owned radio stations in Missouri. And so my dad had his own radio station, radio shows out there, and my grandfather ran that. And my father actually interrupted he had a famous interruption of Amos and Andy's live show. He accidentally screwed up their broadcast, and they got in big trouble for that. But
getting back to aphasia, that you've recovered from aphasia, you're going from that point, and that's where I interrupted you because I didn't think people listening would know.
Yeah, it's very similar to what you were talking about with the way that you see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's enabled me to. A lot of people think, "Oh, what a terrible thing to have happen to you," but I'm glad for it because it gives you such a unique perspective. And I'm a big believer that when God takes one thing from you, God gives you another in another area, and it's a gift. Mm-hmm. And
well, the brain
so,
is so
you know,
complex, and there's other parts of the brain. Brain that is stronger. So
absolutely, yeah, and I think that some of the enhanced mediumship, and I'm clairaudient. I tend to hear spirits. So
do you
smell
things too?
I have
sometimes get
things.
Odors
I have
when you talk to people or get around them.
It's more rare for me that with that, but I have been
I
in situations. For example, on
I mean,
the Hornet,
AIDS
where
has a smell to me. Ooh, AIDS has a smell. It's the worst smell.
Oh, really?
Different
so you can actually smell it?
Smells to me. Pardon?
You can actually smell these diseases?
With certain people, when it's just so strong, some people maybe they project a little bit better than others. But I remember I was in a college, and he was an older male, and I kept on smelling it. It got so bad I had to talk to him, and I became friendly with him. I said, now I'm going down for an AIDS test. Would you mind going with me, or would you mind getting tested too? I did it like that, rather than tell him I think you have AIDS, because I wanted him to get help.
And we went, and of course, I didn't have it, and he did. And, you know, he had to love her. I mean, it wasn't like he slept around a lot, and but these things happen. And he was able to get some medication and live a little bit longer. He was older, and I think it was his heart that got him, if I remember correctly. It wasn't the AIDS.
Wow.
So,
well,
but yeah,
you know, it
smells.
I really think that these sorts of brain injuries cause unique things to have happen where, yeah, once other circuits are activated, it opens
right.
up other possibilities. And what I've noticed is my strong senses are the clairaudience and clairvoyant. And I tend to sometimes, you know, more lately than not, I'm seeing spirits much more as I've aged, and I'm actually catching sometimes full glimpses.
Stronger in June?
What's this?
Was it stronger in June, the first week of June?
I had a very strange sighting in June. My
uh-huh.
mother was stepping outside, and it was the first week of June, and she was outside, and I happened to be coming out of the shower, and I looked out. It was actually, I think it was maybe late May, like the last day of May.
Uh-huh.
But I was walking out, and my mother was out in the front yard, and I look out the. I just got out of the shower, and I'm walking out, and I notice her out walking around the front yard with a hose in her hand, and there's this tall blonde woman walking around behind her, and
mm-hmm.
I thought, and at first, you know, and as a man, I'm going, oh, hot blonde, I'm going to check her out. I'm going to go, and so
yeah.
I'm running out to go grab some clothes and
mm-hmm.
and get dressed up real quick to meet whoever this nice lady is, because she was built well. I mean, you know, she
was
great. Yeah, she was tall, and she had uh-huh. very shapely, and she was wearing a summer print dress. And
mm-hmm.
what ended up happening was I got all ready to go. Mom comes in the door alone, and I go, hey, where's that woman that was with you? Who was that? And she goes, what woman? And I go, the woman. And I said, I described her to a T, and I said, here's what she looked like. And mom, mm-hmm. you know, didn't know at first. But we were talking about this the other day, and I said, you remember this thing that happened? She goes, yeah. And she says, I have an idea who that might be. It might be your Aunt Mary. And I go, what do you mean? You know, mean the one of the original mediums in the family? And she goes, yeah, your Aunt Mary. She lived in Kansas. And that was where a lot of my mom's family, you know, on my grandmother's side came from.
Wow, that's
and,
a lot.
And yeah, and
Kansas
there's a lot
was
of mediums that come from your area, you know?
Kansas was a socialist state when it started out. It is not the Republican state that it is now. It was a socialist state. It was very different from a lot of the other states in the Union, so it brought a lot of different minds that were creative, and a lot of people were drawn to Kansas, kind of like they were drawn to Sedona. You know, people
yeah.
looking for a new way of life. So that doesn't surprise
well,
me that your family somewhat comes from Kansas.
Yeah, it's funny. They you know, the reason that they got driven out was part of it was the some of the Depression era, you know, events that happened.
And
but
then
it was also just
people in there.
Yeah, and we ended up in California, and but you know
mm-hmm.
that started showing up all over the place. You know, different lines of the family have different mediumship abilities,
mm-hmm.
and so. It was very pronounced in with my mom and her four sisters. And so, you know, and then I got it, and my sister has it to some degree. And there are some of my cousins who are very gifted. But every one of them has, like, these different skill sets. But I am
right.
almost a mirror image of my mother. You know, she does the same exact things I do. And so we're like, you know, we see spirits all the time around here. And
well, I'm
going to
be a little bit selfish. And do you
What's
see,
that?
What spirits do you see around me, or what do you hear, see? I'm open.
I'm getting, I saw a woman immediately, presents younger, blonde-haired. She raises her eyes. She's got like an, I don't know if you would know who this is, but she's raising her eye. You know how in Star Trek, Spock would take his eye and give the look
mm-hmm.
to Kirk? You know, he'd like, and they'd always play that little thing of, and it was always the interest thing. And that's kind of, that's going on. Kathy, no, I don't have any other callers. I haven't seen any callers on. So, sorry. Don't have any other callers. But you know, the bottom line is, this is that's what this woman is like.
How old is she, do you think, or guesstimate?
I'm getting presenting. She's presenting in her late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not for sure who that is right now, but I mean, some of the people that are around me, some of the spirits, they're not my family.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting. I feel like this is a family member who's been around you.
Okay.
To the left, that's going to be it's the spirit she's presenting to the left. That's going to be it's going to be on your mom's side.
Okay.
And I'm getting like.
Is she from my generation, or you tell me some time ago?
This goes back two generations minimum.
Okay.
I mean, she's around you. She's a family member, and she's blonde. She's got a very unique look with the eyes, and you will find an old photograph of her around. That's what I'm getting immediately.
Okay.
There's an old photograph of her, and I'm also getting a tall gentleman, dad's sign,
mm-hmm.
another relative.
Is he way far back?
This is going back again. Similar. These are older family members you've never met, but you will.
I've been researching
my
family tree, and I felt a shift. You know, since I've been doing that, and so I wondered if some of my older relatives are now around me.
Well, if you're calling that energy up, you're probably attracting their attention. And they're trying to help you with it. But this guy, he's big. I mean, he's a big man. He's kind of robust. He's somebody that you walk in a room and he'd dominate the place. I'm getting 40-ish, the way he's coming off. Brunette. I don't think you're going to have a color picture of him, but I'm getting green to blue eyes, like a greenish or blue eyes.
Okay.
And he could have been like a model. I mean, this guy that looked that good. Yeah, he was a good-looking man. You know, I mean, women would like go check him out. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, that's the kind of thing here that I'm getting with him. He seems to be very protective to you. Mm-hmm. There's a tenderness to you. So there's a lot and I think he's been around a lot longer than you would think. So definitely look into him.
I had someone I talked to when I was, you know, my preschool years and. He always wore green. He always wore green, and like a green jacket. And a spirit I used to talk to when I was quite young. You know, maybe it's him.
It might be, but I'm very certain on the eyes. And if I had to go for a name, it's going to start with an H. It's like a Henry or something like that. It's like an H. It's definitely a H name. So you may want to look for that.
Last name Lavis.
Lavis.
Starts with HLV. They're Czechoslovakian.
Oh, really?
Not my blood family, but.
Is he?
It's my
but
grandmother's
is he,
late husband.
Oh, really?
Or they're both late. Yeah.
Okay.
He
well, that very, would that would. He was
and
very
he was
close
more
to
of an
you?
Albino. He had very striking eyes.
So, what did he have? Dark hair.
He would dye it. He didn't have any pigment to his hair, and he
oh,
would
so
dye
he dyed it.
It.
But he did
yeah.
dye it dark. So
when he was younger, well, I believe, like when I knew him, it was of course no color.
So, but as he got older, did he dye it?
Well, I want to say, well, I remember him when he was in his 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And at that time, he had stopped coloring his hair, but my grandmother would talk about when he did, you know.
Aha, so he's presenting with that little bit of information. So, okay, so that's
and
validation stuff that's going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and very protective and very, very tender to you. So, you know, you've got a couple of them out there and researching, you know, what I really feel researching what you've got going on there would be a big thing for you.
Well, even my father's family, they had been neighbors to Thomas Jefferson and
I mean, I have all the wills going back to the 1600s, and I mean, that was a big gift in and of itself. And you know, the more
wow.
I learned about my family, the more complete I felt. I don't know
yeah.
if that makes sense to you. I
that
think more
makes sense to me.
I've done
the research on the lost history of my dad's side, and I'm learning a lot. And I've taken a break from it, but I'm going to go back to it. But I found some things that were just amazing that I didn't know. And I found the connections back to the Isle of, or actually to the Azores. I know which islands to go to. When I retire out, I'm going to fly to the Azores and actually go do the research at the churches there because it'll get me some more.
Your father's family, you know, I felt
yeah.
a lot of substance, a lot of, you know, forward thinking, thinking that they had to be careful of, you know, saying that this is what I believe or this is what I, a lot of secrecy. In your early
oh. oh, God, you pinned that. yeah.
Yeah.
It's
no, I am
definitely,
good. I mean, I
definitely a different bunch. Yeah, they're definitely a different bunch. Definitely some strange energy there.
But I think you could do a lot more than what you're doing, and I think they believe that as well.
I'm working up to it. You know, it's just been, you know, this. It's been a weird
they
few years, but I'm, they expect more of me?
Mm-hmm.
You think so?
On your neck, the back of your neck. If you put your hand on the back of your neck and feel on the right-hand side, is there a bump? Like a little
yeah.
lump near the spine?
Well, what it is I know exactly what it is. It's an old injury.
I had wondered if you'd been visited by a different source. And I've never said this to anybody, you know, the people that believe in UFOs and all that. Had you ever felt drawn towards that or an aversion?
I'll tell you what. Without
if you don't
revealing,
want to talk about it, that's fine.
Let's just put it this way. I haven't been abducted, let's, you know, but there's a strong historical component to UFO investigation and UFOs in my family, and that's all I'll go into. Beyond that, I won't tell you too much. Other than my mother witnessed one in Lincoln, California. I talked about it on air.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some, I've done some lightweight investigation into it, but let's just say this, I have pretty strong beliefs about the UFO phenomenon, and I'm very, very certain that the planet's been visited multiple times and continues to be, absolutely, mm-hmm. and we've been interfered with repeatedly.
Well, maybe saved is a better word.
There's different ones. There's different
I don't know too much
races
about it, to be
that.
Honest, but I feel it very strongly in you.
Yeah, it's been.
That's
a,
why I was asking
a,
about the first week
theme.
Of June. Something happened in the first week of June last month for you. I don't know if it was a dream or a reminder. I think it's more of a reminder. There was something physical that happened to you that changed your body. Even that's why I was asking mm-hmm. about that bump.
Well, it's funny because I'm feeling so much better since right about that time. I feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty odd.
And
by
I
the way,
look
I'm going to
as intrusive. Go ahead.
I'm going to jump in and say to the 239 caller, I do see you out there, and even if we run over, we will get you on and we'll go into show archive, but we will answer your questions too. So I do see you out there. So just let me know.
Who has a question in chat? I'm not near my laptop. Who has that question in chat?
I don't know which question because this is all going by. I'm seeing stuff about trolls. I'm seeing stuff. Why do I feel a troll coming on? Kathy, because you're very good. That's why, my dear. And I did some kicking there to get rid of them. So, yeah, it's been a troll-licious night. And, by the way, it's that show. By God, I get to say it again. It's that show. I'm allowed to say what I want. I tend to have I tend to be a little bit a smart aleck, but it's that
okay.
show. So
your
anyway,
show?
But it's that show. I was told by someone out
literal.
There that I'm not allowed to say, quote, that show. Of course,
huh.
I'm saying it on my show because it is my show
well,
and that show is
that?
Our show.
Who tells you that then? Because I hear people say, well, I can't say that name or I can't allude to this. And like, who are the powers that
let's
be?
Just,
I'm new to blog talk.
Let's just say it's been an individual I've had some problems with in the past, and I have chosen to declare my emancipation and independence and do what the hell I want because, by God, this is America.
Hell yeah, it is.
That show. So I have a healthy disrespect for dictatorial things. So I tend to immediately raise up and go, no, by God, you don't get to do that to me. So, you know,
I'm... You pay your money to do your shows. I mean, what does it matter?
Yeah, it's my show. Yeah, I follow the FCC rules for the most part. You know, sometimes the cuss word does eventually come out, and usually it's a guest who says it.
Does it even apply to Blog Talk? I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't, but I tend to keep it to a certain standard,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, that's good.
I mean, yeah. Well, hey, my dear. You know, you're a very interesting lady. Are you on Facebook by any chance?
I am. I'm the cause to talk. I think I'm still in the chat room. I'm upstairs. My laptop's downstairs.
I'll tell you what. I'll pop you a letter after this,
uh-huh.
and I'd like to talk with
you
more. Write
my number down. Do you see my number there?
Yeah, it's, I see that.
Oh, don't say that loud, please.
No, I'm being careful. Yeah, I was, here it is, everybody, it's this. That was that.
No, I'll have to change it again.
Okay, got it. All right,
but yeah,
friend.
And I do most of my talking from the bathtub because I'm more grounded that way. So if you hear water, that's what it was.
Well, you know, and I tend to broadcast from the bathtub myself. It's just great, you know. So, yeah, the two of us are in the tub right now.
No, I'm being serious, you know.
I'm just teasing you.
I'm very literal.
You're making me laugh.
What?
Well, hey, my dear. I'll tell you what. I'm going to bring this call around while we've got a few minutes.
Okay.
If you want to stay on the line here, I'll bring you back on.
Yeah, just put me on mute and I'll listen.
Okay, we'll do that.
Talking to you and... I think maybe we can educate some people in a good way.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll bring you back. I'll run into archive, but we're going to jump on here, so I'll be right back, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right.
I'll be...
Whoop, cut her off there. 239. We got just a few minutes left, but what's your name and where are you from?
Hey, it's Diana from Indiana.
Hi, Diana from Indiana?
Yeah.
That rhymes. What can I do for you, my friend?
just wondering if can you sense some spirits around me and what they might want to say?
Why am I getting Indian energy? I never get Indians. Okay, that's a new one.
Did you say Indian?
Say an Indian. Classic.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Indian? Hey.
Yeah.
I'm getting an Indian.
Yeah, I'm part
getting
Native American.
Oh, okay. That tends to make a sense then. That makes a sense. That's an Indian around you. I'm getting male. It's a male Indian energy, and he's not like the highest chief that ever walked the face of the earth. But this guy is—he's a spiritual leader type of guy. He's a spirit man. I don't know what the tribes are out there. You know, I don't know what tribes ran around Indiana, but. That's how he presents. He's a very spiritual individual, and he's around you. Not quite a guide, but he's definitely there's a tenderness about him with you, you know that he has towards you. That would be one. Are
maybe
you?
Maybe he's a guardian.
I tend to think it's more personal than that. I get like a past life feeling thing, you know. So there's like a connection there. So,
oh,
I mean,
so you're not talking
know.
About someone passed over then? Because I know somebody that fits that description that's not passed over from the past life. He's in this life now.
No, he's passed over. He's dead.
Oh.
He's dead. He's dead. he's over there. But
okay.
This is a past life thing, and the connection with you, that's the feeling I get with it.
Okay.
I'm going to ask about the home you're in. Is the home you're in... you know, moderately old. Would it be in the, you know, the over 40 years old? I mean, is it something that...
Oh, yeah. At least 40, maybe 50.
I'm getting a woman that's around, and this is like earthbound woman. I mean, she's... And I don't think that... Are you in a neighborhood? Is this a neighborhood type thing? I mean, or are you on like a ranch?
Yeah, these houses are around the lake.
Okay, well, I'm getting this woman, and I feel like this is, if I had to describe the word, wanderer. So,
what?
And by the way, Before I go further with that, we got about 30 seconds left, so I'm going to thank everybody. But I'll keep you on. No, we'll keep reading.
Oh, okay.
So we can run over. But Angelica, 59, Kathy's Distant Echoes, Costa Talk, Gerber Daisy TM, Hakeem Simmons, Nancy Mum, thank you. Quinny, thank you. Tim Zuhl, Victoria 43, and Wu Quinn. Thank you guys for being on. We're going to go ahead and run into archive. We've got about 10 seconds left. So this is Soul Stream, and we thank everybody for being on. And we'll go ahead and roll, continue on into archives. So download the show later, and we'll see you guys later. And this is Soul Stream signing off. Okay, stream's off, and we are continuing on. So, yeah. So we can run another hour, you know, if we wanted to. So, I've got the two of you, two people on here, but I've got you on, and then we'll have the other lady back. So, it's just this woman seems to be a wanderer. I think she's wandering the different homes. It's not like she's tied to your house, but I get the feeling she's just somebody who passed in the area, and she kind of makes the rounds. You know, and I think it's older than the homes that were there. So if you have been noticing anything around, that would be, you know, and feeling anyone around. Kathy,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean,
I felt like I've had my people around too. But this is a wooded area with a lake, so there could have been people out here.
Yeah, if I had to pin her down, I'm getting a blonde. This is a white woman, blonde energy, and she would have been late 1800s. There would have been homes in the area that she would have been part of, and I think I get disease. I get disease with her. She's taken by disease. So she seems to be very interested in people, but she's not fully crossed over.
Why?
I don't know.
Gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. I get the feeling like, pardon me?
Do you think she would if somebody showed her how?
Yeah, absolutely. I just crossed over a spirit who's been around me. Last night I did this crossing for a woman who's been on our property. We're on a haunted gold ranch. And she was one of the first spirits I ever saw face on, direct vision. And I was very close to her, and she ended up becoming just a real part of my whole paranormal bent, the direction I've been going all my life. But she finally was revealing that she really wanted to cross. And so we did that for her last night, and it was just a really special moment, you know. I really feel like this lady, if you made contact, you could do that, and you might be able to get her to go. And you sound experienced, you know. And I'm going to say goodnight to all these folks because I'm going to do a big hug there. I got to do that or I'm in big trouble because all these people are so nice to come listen to the show, you know. There we go. And Costa Talk is saying, you were nice to talk. You guys, let me say it here. Love you guys. I got to say that or I'm a heel. Okay, here we go. All right. So but I really feel with you. You have ability. I mean, you strike me as gifted. So, Quinny says,
I can't hear yet, though. I wish I could hear. You know, I can do readings pretty well. I could be a guest on your show even if you wanted. But I'm sure I could get her to cross if I actually felt like she was hanging out. But I'm so used to just feeling any of the spirits that I don't know, you know, if it's not just somebody visiting me.
I really think you could do it. The thing to do is open your mind to it and then, and go out and talk to her. You know, Anna was the spirit that I had who would come in here. And believe me, it's really tough on me right now. I actually feel lost because she's gone. You know, she would actually come in the studio, and tonight she was nowhere near. I mean, the energy's gone. She's actually crossed, and she's no more around. But you know, you can talk to them, and they will come in. Let's see. I just saw something here. I'm just going to say will do here. I see that. Will do. Sorry about that. doing. It's one thing. We're trying to run this show. It's like trying to chew bubble gum and, you know, walk at the same time and do readings. It's the damnedest thing. So I have to try to do the typing and all that, and I'm finding out I'm just no good at it. My gosh. So anyway, but, you know, I really get with you that you've got the gift to do it. So I would follow, you know, go out, talk to her, invite her to a particular spot at a certain time, and try to get to know her and then find out what she wants, and maybe you will be able to cross her. You know, and if you don't feel like you could do it alone, get somebody to help you who's got experience with that. Yeah.
Sure. Well, how come the people on the other side can't help her to call her over? Like that Indian chief you saw.
Well, the trouble is, and this has been luckily I can answer this for you. Part of my training has been to understand the reasons why these things happen. These people are vibrating at a different level. When you have an earthbound energy, they tend to vibrate at a level more close to our own than to what someone in the spirit world would. So they're vibrating at a lower level. They're slightly above us. But they tend to overlap, and we can feel them, much more readily. Let's just say it that way. And so we have overlap. And when you as a medium go in and call attention to your spirit guides and to those angels that you work with, you know, depending on what your belief system is, and you know, there's many ways to do this. You can do that. You can bring the attention to those higher powers and say, I'm going to bring this spirit to a certain place at a certain time, ask you to be there, and you make it known to them about when you're going to do it, and they'll be there waiting, and you raise your energy up, and you're making the light, you know, and you're bringing that, you're literally bringing the energy levels up to a point where they can see this spirit. And then they can receive that spirit and bring them through for the final part of their journey.
Wow. Yeah,
so that's what
this
is. Yeah. And it's a very simple process. I mean, yesterday what I did, I was having trouble with it because at the beginning I started to do the light and I couldn't get her to see it. I finally cut a door with my mind. I just says, if you can't see it, I'm going to make it for you. And I pointed my finger and basically did a doorway. And said, can you see it now, Anna? And she goes, yes. And I go, okay, then just go to that. My guides will be on the other side waiting for you, and so will yours. And they acknowledged to me, you know, that they were there, and they took her right in. And it was just beautiful. And I got, you know, it only took about 4 minutes for the whole process. I mean, I was really surprised. It went very quickly. She was just really ready to go. And today it's just been... you know, my third eye is very active, and I feel, you know, I mean, do you have the same sense? So you get that sense in the, you know, forehead, you just get that energy when things are happening. Yeah, today it's been so light, you know, it's just been very muted, and I feel like I threw a lot of energy out, and I'm kind of recovering from it, but at the same time, I just feel a little sadness, you know, so I miss my friend, you know, it really is. It's going to take a little bit for me to get over her because I've had a relationship with this lady for all this time, and she was one of the reasons I got into this business in the first place. So, I hope I meet her on the other side when I go over. You know, I don't know, but
helped her cross, and now you miss her.
I miss her. She was my buddy. I mean, she would come in the studio. Yeah, she would come in the studio when I would be doing work, and she would touch me. I got sick one time and I was out for about a month, and I came back in and I was doing some pre-show checks about 6 hours before showtime, and I came in to fire up the studio and dust everything off, and this was a couple of years back, and I fired up the studio and I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden I got this cold hand sensation on my left arm and all the hair stood up, and I looked over and she wasn't visible, but I could feel her, and I said, oh, you're welcoming me back, and I felt the hand move a little bit on my arm, and then it just went away, you know, and I just said, hey, it's good to be back, Anna, and she just would sit in the corner, you know, and just be with me and watch me do the show. So, you know, they're held here by certain forces within themselves. You know, they have their reasons. In her case, she was murdered. You know, she was actually murdered on the property, you know, back in the 1850s. And we believe we know where she's buried because we got an EVP telling us exactly where she is. So I did a little memory garden for her before she crossed, and we've got that planted. And that was one of the things that she wanted before she was willing to leave, you know. And she communicated that, and we did it for her. And then she basically let me know she was ready to go. So if you do a little something for them, you give them something to hope for, they will cross, you know. And it was just really neat. So, you know, I miss her, but I'm glad she's on the other side with her family and her people, you know, early on. You know, so
well, she can still visit you, can't she?
I told her before she went, I said that. I said, come back and visit if you can. You know, it may take some time, but, you know, let me know you're around. And so I'm going to wait a few months, and then I'll try some EVP work to see if I can get her to come through. And one of my spirit controls, my spirit controls on the other side, when I do the EVP, I'll be talking with her to see if maybe I can get, you know, them to bring her through. So we'll see. And I'd like to know more about her than I know. I've never really tried to do too much with EVP with Anna. I never really wanted to go too far with it. You know, it was enough that she lived around us, but there were certain things that I just never really felt the need to go push with her. And now that she's fully crossed, I was a little afraid of riling her up because it was an emotional thing. Once you've got an earthbound, once you start going too far with them, they can get dangerous, you know, real quick, or they can freak out, and you've got somebody that you've got to try to, you know, you've created a storm. So now that she's fully crossed, you know, and she'll have some time to heal, then we can get into the details. And now I can start researching her life and find out more about her and what the rest of her name is, you know. Because I don't know the last name. I just know Anna, you know. So. But, you know, in your case, I just really feel this, you can help this lady, you know. And she's just wandering around, you know. There's just this feeling of a lost soul. Kind of in a repetition thing. I think if you asked around, you'll find out that there's reports of seeing this woman walking around out there, you know, so, just check into it. Yeah. So
well,
I'm going to
get one of those boxes. Do you think the ones on, eBay are any good?
What kind of box are you talking about?
Like the spirit boxes.
You know, I got to tell you something. I have a lot of paranormal gear, and I've spent a lot of money on a lot of different things. And I have a Radio Shack radio. This is how I do my EVP work. I have a $25 Radio Shack AM/FM radio, and I tune it to 103 megahertz.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that FM static signal. You know, for me, 103 megahertz is a clear spot on the dial out here where I'm at. I run that into my computer sound card, and I use Audacity, and I've got certain techniques I use to pull spirit voices. They tend to like that 100 megahertz or so FM band and maybe a little higher. They tend to go there, and they're able to influence our electronics very easily. So I use a cheap radio. You don't need to spend a lot of big dollars on this because they can affect almost all our electronics, absolutely. So I hate to break it to all the guys that are making money. I record it with Audacity on the computer, and then what we do is we process that. Now, there is one I do recommend, which I'm very partial to, and you'll see more of it on the show in the coming fall, is the PSB-7, which is that is a neat unit. It does very fast stepping through the different frequencies, and for some reason that does work pretty well. But the slower, like Shack Hack boxes, they work to a point. But I found the PSP-7 did work. You know, it's one of the few things I will recommend.
They do have a PSP.
Yeah, the PSP-7 is pretty good. But I find that I do really well with single frequency. A lot of people, when I started doing that, they told me it never would work, and I went out and just did it, and it turned out the spirit world was just fine with it. You know, they came through great, absolutely. So I just have a feeling if you put the effort in, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You just have to believe, and then do it. You know.
So the PSP is about $79. They had some others that were $59, but.
Yeah, you can Go out on eBay and look around, but there's like the people who manufacture that, there's that Chris, let me look on Facebook here. I think I saw him out there. He had that show, he was out on that show. I'm trying to, let me pull that up. I'll do a search here for Chris. Yeah, because I get his name and then I can't. Chris. I'm trying to find his name. He was on Dead Famous. I'm trying to remember his last name. Anyway, he is, actually, I'll just type Dead Famous. Actually, that works. And there it is, Dead Famous TV show. And Chris, come on, give me the Facebook here. And I'm looking for his name. Chris Fleming. That's it, Chris Fleming. If you go out and look up Chris Fleming, you'll find his website, and he sells a lot of the newer model ones. And they tend to run anywhere from $70 to $90. So, but he's got like the direct source with them, with the manufacturers. So I bought mine through him, and he's always been a real decent Joe to deal with. He's very ethical. I like him. And definitely try that, but start off simple. Start off with, if you want to do a Shack Hack, get the Shack Hack box. It's $25 from Radio Shack. It's real easy to make the modifications that, and you can get results with that too. So,
and you said FM 103, huh?
Yeah, I use anything over, I tend to take an FM radio, anything over 100 megahertz, I tend to do better with. A little bit below, it's a little more challenging, and I don't know why. It seems just like the higher frequencies you go, it's a little easier for spirit to work with. So
okay.
I like anything from about 100 to all the way into airband. And I just recently got a radio that'll take me up to 900 megahertz. So I'm going to try some experiments and see maybe if that takes me up further and I get better results. So we'll see how that goes. But those are experiments I'm set to work on. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got somebody that likes to talk into the spirit box, so I got to get one for him.
I'll tell you what was really one of my first big successes with this, and maybe this is something you can try. Have you got a digital recorder?
What do you mean, like just an old recorder?
Yeah, just a digital recorder. Yeah, you got an old one?
That records the tapes.
You could do the tapes, or you could go get yourself a cheap little, just go to any old, office supply, and you could get a little digital recorder.
Sound recorder on the computer has a sound recorder.
You could do that too. Absolutely. What I would do is get a microphone and have a decent quality microphone, and what you do is you put a radio out. And all you have to do is set it to static frequency. This is a real simple setup, and it'll work. Believe me, I've tried it. And so what would happen is I did one of my first ever recordings where I got angels, of all things. And I wasn't an angel guy. I never really – and I ended up getting these angels coming through, and it was like I tuned it to a particular spot, just got static. Set it in, next to the microphone and started talking and started asking questions. The next thing I knew, when I played it back, I got very clear answers. And it was like, whoa, this is really cool. Give it a shot. It does work. And be willing to play. Try different techniques. You don't have to take what I say as gospel. Find what works for you with your equipment. Yeah, and vary it. And make it a play thing, because that's how you get results in this business. When you come at it with a playful attitude, and you're not building so much importance into it, all of a sudden you go, the miracles will happen, and you're going, whoa, that was really cool, man. Wow, these spirits are way cool. Okay, I'll talk to you some more. You're very nice. And then they'll come through. Oh yeah, I mean, it's the new stuff. So it just makes my heart sing when I can I get them to come through, and you get the damnedest thanks. On my website, if you go out to Ghostwriter Investigations, I've got out in my my case files, I've got a bunch of EVPs out there. You could just search top 10, and you'll hear some of my stuff. And some of it's touching, some of it's tragic, some of it's just absolutely funny or in a crutch. We've had drunken spirits, literally, yelling whoopee when we took them whiskey. You know, because out here in the West, they like their whiskey. So we'll take to haunted spots, we'll take whiskey. And they think we're the best. One of them on an EVP says, that man is a saint.
You mean they like it if you drink the whiskey? Or if
no,
you
we
just
take them
the
whiskey.
There?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went out to a haunted mine out in Nevada. And we knew these guys died in a horrible mine fire. And they were real known for playing, you know, really dirty tricks on people. And we went in there and were real respectful. And then I walked out there and I had a bottle of Southern Comfort and I poured them a big drink and I said, "This is for you boys." And I said, "We'll go away, but we're all going to toast you." And so we had the whole team and we all toasted and took a swig ourselves and went away. And I set a recorder out there and man, those guys were just jacked up. They were blown away that we did that for them, and they loved it, you know. And they were real. They were and they did stuff for us because they, you know, here were these nice paranormal investigators, didn't come in like a bunch of cowboys. We came in there and were nice to them and we gave them some booze. They thought we were cool.
That is neat. Yeah. Wow.
Oh yeah. See, if you go in with if you bring gifts to spirits and you go in and you speak in terms that they would understand and you talk in terms that their particular cultural references will understand and will be well received, you're going to have successes. And you walk in there and you start demanding things to try to provoke them, you're just going to piss them off. So, you know, that's the deal. I mean, you're going to get a lot more flies with honey than you get with vinegar. That's my take on it. So we don't provoke.
Well, that is good advice. Yep, and Indians do that too. You know, like when you're having the peace pipe ceremony and you take in gifts. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They pulled out the ganja and, you know, and just shared it, and everybody was, "Hey, let's get along, man." And they did great, you know. And it was a very equitable setup, you know. But, you know, I honestly give it a try. I mean, you know, and you said you wanted to be on the show, huh?
Well, I do card readings, and I am intuitive. I think I'm getting closer to being able to speak to guides, but it's just not there yet. So far it's more like just being really intuitive. And now I hear once in a while, and if I lose something, they'll find it for me or give me an answer when I'm searching for something. Or, you know, I'm definitely getting a connection. But as far as other people, can't really talk to their guides yet enough to give them that kind of a reading. But the card readings, everybody says they're right on. I do archetypes in houses and success meditation.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know what, there's nothing like immersion therapy, you know. I mean, I jumped into this not knowing half the time what I'm doing, and I'll do shows. I used to do show plans, and I would have a whole thing. I'd write up what I was going to talk about and this and that. And I found, as I've gotten more comfortable with it, that I'm much more free and easy about it, and I trust what Spirit's going to do. And some nights it's really kicking. Other nights it's like, there's hard lessons coming through and things are, you know, a little different. On other nights, it's like, you know, funnier than a crutch. I mean, we laugh ourselves sick, you know. But, yeah, the thing is, when I jump in and do readings, what I found, and just a little bit of advice is trust the very first impressions you get, because that's what Spirit's doing. You're getting impressions. And you don't have to worry so much about the guides. Don't worry about who's doing the talking. Worry about what you're getting from them and just deliver the message. And what you're doing with the cards is great. I mean, that's awesome, because you're programming that part of your mind, and once that starts taking hold, you may find that you'll do the cards maybe half and half, and maybe a little less down the road, but you'll find that that's going to be something that maybe you pass through or maybe you keep. It depends on what you want with it, but you'll suddenly notice much more clear communications coming through. And, you know, I've been away from this for a while, so I actually kind of let my abilities go dormant a little bit because of my dad's situation with all the strokes and stuff. So I'm getting back into it, and it's been hard on me. You know, you got to use it, you know. And so, you know, I encourage you, get on the air, get out there and risk, you know. And people are remarkably forgiving. You know, they really are. Oh, yeah. I mean, so just get out there and have a...
When you can get a reading when you don't have any money, but you really, really need a reading, it's great to go to Blog Talk Radio and find someone who will give their time. And then...
If you want to do a show, let me know. Get out there, pop a message to me here on Blog Talk, or I'll give you my Facebook and everything, and we can set up a show. I tend to do the interview shows on Saturdays are my, kind of my reading day, type shows, and then Sundays tend to be the interview stuff. So if you like, if you want to do it on a Sunday, I'm up for that. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll set it up. Yeah. And, and do some tarot readings and stuff like that, the cards. That'd be great. Absolutely.
I can do some cards and then you can add on to it.
Okay. Well, we could tag team.
Be
I've
fun.
Done that. I've done tag team meetings. Yeah. All right.
I'll get your Facebook and
Yeah.
Do you have are you SoulStream on Facebook?
You can actually look for John, J-O-N, middle initial F, and the last name is Almada, A-L-M-A-D-A. And just look for me there and you'll key right in on me. I'm
okay.
there.
Okay.
And of course, Blog Talk. Yep. And then you can also just get me on Blog Talk. Just shoot me a message, and I'll give you some links and stuff. So.
Okay.
Okay.
All right
my
thank
friend.
You. Good talking
well, thank
to
you.
You.
Good talking with you, too. And we ran a little long, but, hey, I have a good time on this show. We like to let it go a little longer.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have that
friend.
Lady cross over. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. God bless.
Good night.
Okay, good night. All right, and let's see. We got our other friend in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Angela is in the bathtub.
You heard me.
Angela is in the bathtub.
Yes, I am.
I sense Angela in the bathtub. The water is getting cold. You need to heat up
here. I look at your description of your show, and it says, we'll make a splash for whatever. I was laughing. Wait, yeah, isn't that funny?
You're the first person I've ever had call who's in the bathtub. That's a new vision for me. I'm just sitting there going, people.
I can read really well in the bathtub.
Well, it's such a wonderful way to do it. I never thought about that.
Good way to make
gin. Yeah, because it's what's that?
Good way to make gin as well. Bathtub gin. Never mind. It was a joke. I
know you got me. I did. I laughed because I knew exactly what you were saying. I'm just like, that's good. But,
yeah, I didn't want it to sound too provocative. And
well,
some
it's
people,
actually a
their
wonderful
mind goes
relaxation
automatically
technique.
Too.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it relaxes the mind, and you are absolutely right. I mean, it's just
someone
wonderful.
To get on the laptop and, like, click the next caller for me. I'd be in good shape there.
Well,
you
can do that. That's easy. You just get a remote mouse and just have it so you can at least get to it, and be able to move the mouse around.
Well, I don't have wireless. I did have wireless, and the other laptop died, and it was like the main laptop. So I don't have permission to put the other laptop on the wireless, and I don't know how to change that. Or I just bring the laptop up here and do it and just use like a pencil to push the buttons I need and... So I won't electrocute myself.
You know, it's funny. I there was a time I was taking, just so I could listen to certain music, I would take my netbook. And when I do the salt baths, I would take the netbook with me because I had the wireless. And I would do some of the internet radio, really relaxing music on internet radio. And I would just get in the tub and then I'd have my earbuds and I'd have the laptop sitting up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it absolutely was great. I mean, I loved it. And now I've got these little teeny MP3 players, and they're just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to do that. But, yeah, the idea of networking while in the bathtub, that's just such a new thing to me. I really find
it
neat.
I lit the candles I thought I needed, and I had my incense, and, I just wanted to have a good time. And, sometimes I drink some wine, and, there's this one guy called Reuter. Have you heard of him, Reuter? They call him Old Reuter.
I've heard of...
He says he's like 80-something, but he's younger, and he's funny. And he does readings from a whiskey bottle. And it was actually accurate. Well, we just had, if you just even search his shows,
Fruiter.
I think I'm on the one in June.
Yeah.
When I was in the bathtub, and it was funny because I was just drinking some, I put vodka in with my lemonade, and he was like, let me have a drink first before I do this reading. I said, okay, if you're going to have a drink, I'll have one too, you know. It was just fun.
Oh, my God, that's funnier than hell.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And I mean, I have an attractive voice. I know this, and... You know, it was just
you would actually
really
good do a good voiceover. Yeah, I mean, I do voiceover occasionally for
really?
For different purposes. Oh yeah, I've done voiceover for defense videos and safety videos for my company, and you know, but you do have a very good voice for voiceover work. If you did the training, you would.
I think I
would
have a voice that makes people feel comfortable, and I think that's important. So.
You could do character work, and you could do commercials. You would be absolutely good at
that.
Yeah, because
I wouldn't
yeah.
have to be around a lot of people to do that. I really have an aversion to being around lots of people.
It's funny for me. I mean, I like the public work, but I'm equally
mm-hmm.
as comfortable in the studio. And I found that I'm at the point near retirement where I'm looking at doing the voiceover professionally. So I've actually equipped the, you know,
well,
it's not only for radio. I've got thousands of dollars worth of gear in here, and I'm going to be
really?
Doing voiceover. You
get
know, and I'll actually.
I'm all the way in Oklahoma, though.
Well, if you ever do get out of here, we'll have you out to the ranch. Hell, I mean, it's yeah, we definitely got room, and we'll get a big bathtub for you, so we can wheel you around, you know.
I would
no
love
trouble
that.
At all.
I'm being serious. I would love to do a show for the bathtub. I'll just put a little divider between me and you, and that would be great. Wouldn't that be a riot?
Oh my God, I can see the image now. The scandalous behavior that's going on John's show. I tend to be a rather controversial figure as it is, but. Yeah, by the way, I got to say it again. This is that show, my gosh. So
oh.
I'm going to say that show. But, do you do readings? I mean, do you do readings for people, right? I mean, you sound like you've
done... Yeah, I have before in the past. What? Because of my mother's family, they really got to me when I had my first child. They did not want me doing this type of work, and they hauled my butt in court, and, you know, I won, but it took a toll. It took a toll. So I've been for about a decade.
Is it because of the nature of the region you're in, you know, kind of a Bible Belt type thing?
No, I'm from a very liberal family, believe it or not, but we're very conservative when it comes to our own, if that makes any sense at all.
It does. I know sort of what you're saying. It's, you know, it's okay if the other guy does it, but when you're the different,
yeah.
you know, you're the odd duck out, you start to stick out like a sore thumb.
I mean, you know about major market radio, right? If your family's been in radio.
Yeah,
you
know.
You know what major market radio is. I was on a major market radio station. I was in the Atlanta market, urban market. You know, and I had my own show, and I had really good ratings, and my points were just out there. People dropped their jaws when they would hear about all that. But I didn't make that much money on the show, to be honest, and I just did it because that's something I enjoy doing, and that's one of the things that did me in court, you know, is this radio show I've done. But I want to do it again. But I don't really need radio. I mean, I can do blog talk, or I just don't know what venue would really listen to me on the Internet.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I don't do this for the money, I'll tell you. I've done this for...
Yeah, there's no money in this. I enjoy doing it.
No.
I would like to do voiceovers. I think those
voiceover is
money.
A different market because, yeah, you can justify the expense of the equipment you have, and it's a wonderful way of being able to, you know, continue on with your radio, but you get the tax benefits because it's a business thing. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I'm 52 now, and I'm looking at my retirement coming up, but I have absolutely no intention of retiring. I'm going to go right into a new career. I'm too busy
like
to stop.
What?
You do? Oh, thank you. I like talking with you, too. Yeah,
so
it's just...
I've had a little bit.
I'm 52, but
now.
I feel 25. You know, I feel like I've got so much damn things to do. I just want to, you know, the
well,
universe...
my ex-fiance was 62.
Whoa.
I just ended that last Sunday. That was hard.
Oh, my God.
Of me. I took it hard. But it had to be done. I mean, his family's not going to change. You know, there's one thing about changing a man, but changing his family, there's no way. There's no way.
I don't know about changing men. You know what's funny? Men are kind of stubborn. Yeah, it's a stubborn thing.
You know,
we're kind of stubborn.
His family that needed to change, not him. You know, he wanted to be with me, but his family was more important to him. You know, and if you can't make me first, then that means I'm last, and I'm not having that, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that you have to sacrifice everything for me, but I need to be on the list, and it needs to be a short list, and I need to be at the top.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I mean, if you are going to have a relationship, it has to be exactly that. You cannot let what other people think matter. You know, I committed in I'm divorced, but you know, when I committed to my marriage, that was it. That was number one. I didn't let anything get in the way. Made some big mistakes. By God, plenty of them. But you know, but that's what you learn. That's how you learn. You know, and your family, if your family really is smart, they'll look and stand back and let you fall on your face, and then be there to help collect the pieces
His daughter in particular hated me, and that hate. It wasn't because of me. It was just because what I represented. You know, I was not her mother. I was not so many things. You know, I feel sorry for that family. They're never going to be happy. You know.
Well, you know, it's I tell you, there are a lot of people in the world who are afraid of being different. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes all facts to make
there's shame in being different. And there should not be shame in being different, or the feeling that you're always going to be different from everyone else, hopelessly different. And there shouldn't be shame in that.
I like variety and unique people.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not going to agree with all of them. You don't have to.
Mm-mm.
But what I think is the universe is big enough to have a lot of different opinions in it and a lot of different really wild individuals and free spirits who walk around. And then there are the ones who are pretty bundled up and really tightly wound. And you know what? It takes all of them to make it work. You know, so, I mean,
that's
I appreciate diversity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but, that, you know, that's the thing is I do see, you know, like on both sides of the aisle, left and right, you know, if those
mm-hmm.
people didn't exist, it would be so much better. And it's like, hey, you know what? Why don't you just, like, lighten the load, man? It takes everybody
mm-hmm.
to figure this out. This is a big ball of crap right now, and it takes everybody. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, appreciate the fact each other exists and then get over it, you know, move on. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm on my soapbox, but sorry.
Oh, that's
but,
okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just getting a little
tonight.
More tolerant as I get older, huh?
I've had fun with you tonight.
I've had fun with you. Yeah, you're a really nice lady, and you've got a great, you got a heart of gold. I wish
well,
you well, and
you.
Yeah, I'd like to have you on again. You know, talk with you some more.
In the bathtub?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're making me
I
laugh.
Don't have
I you know, what, I'll tell you what. You should do sound effects with it. You could like pour stuff in the water and then. Make everything
like that.
Yeah, you do stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
My skin gets so dry out here. No, I mean it's been like 107, 105. Well, I'm sure you understand. You're in California. We've even had our roads buckle. I mean, it's bad. It hasn't been this hot for so long, and I don't know how long.
Yeah,
hard
it's funny.
Winter,
you guys are
summer.
Boiling, and we're like having this crazy cold weather. We normally are anywhere from 103 to 118, 103 to 118. We're at 85 degrees. I mean, this is bad. Well, it's terrible because we want the hot weather for our crops, and it's not. Yeah, because we actually grow a lot of our own food here,
uh-huh.
and you know, I've got squash plants that are sitting here going,
cucumbers.
"What's the heat, dude?" Oh yeah,
I like canned beets.
Oh, yeah, we have all that
stuff. I like
stuff, you know, but, yeah, and, you know, I've got 7 acres here, and we usually
mm-hmm.
do 1 acre garden, and so it's like our garden is just crap this year. So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
that.
you guys are getting boiled out of your socks there, and your roads are buckling.
Well, it's getting dangerous. It really is.
You know it's funny. It just seems like the whole world is totally topsy-turvy. I don't understand
mm-hmm.
the energy shifts going on, but... Man, things are weird. I just don't get it. I just get the feeling like we're being really tested.
Can I ask you a question on the voiceovers? Can you make decent money on that, or?
You can make a living if you get the thing I've found to watch out for, just in my research of it, is there are shops that will have you as a contract. You'll do contract work
labor,
and you'll be working. But you're better off. A lot of people will do their own voiceover work and run their entire thing from the internet, and they'll broadcast just like what I'm doing right now. I'm on Skype, but I'm on a specially tuned Skype connection.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm doing. I've researched this. So, I mean, I've done all the work to set up so that I could run my entire show, my own little business, and have one income stream of many because I have other talents. So I'm banking on the fact that the new economy is voiceover for part of the week. I'll do this other thing with readings the part of the week. I'll do some radio show stuff and maybe do some advertisement. Multiple income streams. That's the answer. But you have to be your own businessman and not run around believing that, oh, it's the old model. You go to school, you get a degree, and then you get a job, and you work till you drop. It doesn't work that way.
No, that's not me.
Yeah, you got to think on your feet. So if you've got that kind of ability to be an entrepreneur and think on your feet and work the system, you'll do fine.
Yeah.
You know, voiceover.
Maybe
for you, voiceover.
You promote me.
I'll promote you. I mean, but if you do voiceover and study it, there's some great books on it and some good techniques out there on the internet, which you can pull down for free. All you need is a decent microphone, which you can get. There's actually some decent stuff out there for, $20 to $40.
Really?
For decent microphones and a sound card. That's it. And start learning how to read script. Yeah, and then you can talk like this and do voiceover work,
Well, I wouldn't want to sound like that.
I'm doing the radio thing. This is from Burbank Studios in NBC. We're talking to people in their bathtubs. Film at 11. So, I mean, you can get into it's learning the different characteristics of how to use your voice, how to throw it correctly, how to breathe. How to breathe is a big thing in voiceover.
I used to study voice, like singing and... How to breathe correctly is very important. And of course, it's been probably 15 years, but...
Well, you can dive back into that and find practical use for those skills. It's funny how early things you do in life suddenly come back in a new way that you didn't appreciate. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. I would like to have you back. Yeah, absolutely. We could do some readings in the bathtub. Well, the bathtub gym.
I can be a little playful,
reading
but curious.
Yes,
like when
you
were saying, the different words that I knew your listeners may not understand, because I don't think you think of those things.
I don't know. I'm an everyday person.
You can make your show. You have more knowledge than the everyday person does. I mean, that's just a fact. It doesn't mean that you're better than them, but I think for them to learn and improve and enrich their life. Like when I said, I don't think they would understand what was that thing, aphasia or whatever it was.
Absolutely, yeah.
I know the word
saying,
if I read it.
Aphasic. I know what you're saying. I tend to be rather explanatory when these things come out. We'll start talking about it and I'll explain
what it is.
I can prompt
you to explain things I don't think they would understand, but. I think teaching them how to meditate and calm their thought life down would be very helpful. I think you could tell them how to do that. If you could teach
that
well.
You actually struck on something that's been one of the income streams I've been looking at is actually doing meditation recordings and selling those and having a website.
Now that
to,
I can do well.
There you go. I mean, it's a perfect thing. Yeah. So you get your delivery down, get some custom music made that, is your music, and then come up with the scripts and all that stuff. And that's something I am very interested in. So one of the things I'm doing is I have broadcast quality microphones that I can take out in the field and I can record nature sounds, which are free of copyright. So you can go out and record those. Yeah, waterfall, some sounds of birds. You do
even
a little bit of mixing.
Even the sound of a windmill or a fan. I think the sound of a fan is so relaxing. People don't really you know, we know the type of fan that's above the head or close by, and
yeah,
or even to hear it rotate. You know, you can hear a fan rotate. Those
yeah.
sounds are very relaxing to people, and the sound of bacon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm using
a
fan in here right now.
It's very relaxing.
I use a fan to sleep by, and I use fans when I'm doing EVP work. I'll tend to run a motor or a fan because it has an energy that it promotes spirit communication, believe it or not.
John.
You know, yeah, oh, absolutely, yes.
John, do you think I'm really talented still, or? I mean,
of course.
It's been so long since I read on a consistent basis, and
it's immersion therapy, just like I told the last caller.
Yeah, I understand
If you do something and you exercise it, you're going to naturally be able to do it better. Talent is one thing. It's that's innate in a lot of people with a particular skill set that they just pick up and do. But to be excellent is by repetition, by being in it and showing interest and having passion for it, and that's what it takes.
You have
you strike
a great
me as
ear.
Having, who? Oh, who's that?
I'm just saying you have a great ear, so you really value what you say on that. And,
well,
you know, if
I really want
to go into this, I'll go into it whole heart. And I'm thinking about starting to do some blog talk radio shows myself. And
oh, you should. Absolutely. I mean, you've got
do you
the
think I would
number
develop
one, you,
following?
You have a penetrating intellect. You have a very unique style that makes you stand out and you're different. You have the psychic and mediumship skills, which you can develop
really
further. Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I feel like I've lost
can,
part of it.
It's you never lose it. Nah. Absolutely not. I mean, like when I got sick, you know, yes, I had the gallbladder out, which didn't need to come out, but did. But I was really sick. But when I came back, I mean, I was out and I was recovering because I also had a very bad hernia and that did need repair.
Oh.
And I was actually
with gallbladder. Usually, if you have a problem with gallbladder, you'll have a hernia.
Yeah, it was. I had to have Teflon put in, and because I really
gosh.
Tore it bad, and I was in big trouble when they had to work
bet
on
you
me.
Were.
But
was it an
what happened?
It was
emergency surgery. Oh yeah, I was out. I mean, I got carted out in an ambulance, and a week later, I was in. They said he's in big trouble. They were going to put me off.
You were in so much
and
pain.
And I was losing it, man. And I was dying. They had to fix me. So I ended
makes
up having the surgery. I'm so much better now. I feel so much better. And it's funny. What I've noticed though is I got kind of it knocked me out for 7 months. I basically felt lost. And it's in the last 2 months I suddenly started feeling. Oh my God, things are getting back to normal. And I was doing. I concentrated very hard on good habits and good meditation technique. And just immersed myself, yeah, and really starting respecting what my guides were about and really taking time to really honor what this is, the process is. And now they're reacting, going, he's serious. He's back. Okay, let's work with him. Okay. Yeah, he's back, dude. All right, cool. So
you would be fun to go camping with. I mean,
you
have that energy of a child that's just discovering things, you know, for you all over again.
I spent a lifetime. I grew up in the Sierra Nevadas in a town called Paradise, and you probably saw it. It actually mostly burned down here a couple of years ago. But yeah, well, there was the spot that I grew up in, though, on the west branch of the Feather River, was absolutely is a pristine, wonderful place, and still, and it survived. And it's beautiful, but you know, of course, the Forest Service will lock everybody out, which is illegal, but.
Why?
You can still hike in. But I love camping. Oh, yeah, because it's corrupt as hell out here with the, there's a certain lumber company that has paid people off, and oh, goodness gracious, it's a mess. But bottom line is you can still hike in there. They just have locked people out with cars. So if you know how to ride a bike or you can, or hoof it in there, you can get there. But I spent you can take a horse, yeah. But they're not. It's public land, so it's the taxpayers paid for it. So by God,
that's
we have the right to be out there. I grew up running around the forest, and you're absolutely right. I spent a lifetime in, my family encouraged me to learn and to go out and experiment and try and see the world as a child, even into my adult time. So you pinned it.
Yeah.
So yes, but the camping, I absolutely love camping. And what I've been hankering for lately is ocean camping. I want to go out and camp by the ocean. I've never really done much of that.
Like
so.
By an island where you can go to the ocean,
Yeah, I've been to metal detecting.
Mean?
So I like to take. I like to go look for treasure. And so, and
I
not only that, there's
you.
A lot of spirit energy there.
And you have
there.
To bleep this out. You have to bleep this out. You can't let this go on a show when I'm about to tell you. I have a friend that's
I can't.
Okay,
I can't
I'll
do
speak
it because
very general. Okay,
yeah,
I had a
that.
Friend that lives in a different state. And you know the Jesse James thing about the mason jars and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my grandmother's mother was Drusilla James, part of the James family. And it just so happens
Whoa.
I just met up with this man. Yeah, I know. Just so happens that I met up with this man over the phone. I'm going to go meet him soon. And on his property is the same, it looks like a turkey feet, but it's an arrow in the dashes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a lot of James family in Kansas. So we'll waste at this state. Well, anyway, and there's waterfalls nearby. I mean, everything that the legend talks about. And my grandmother had tons of silver dollars from that age. And I wish I'd listened to her more before she passed. But anyway, he's getting ready to go out and look for that treasure with the metal detectors. And I'm going to go with him since I'm part of the family. And
it would be a good thing
it.
To do. Well, trust mm-hmm. your instincts. I'll tell you what, I use mediumship, believe it or not, when I'm out metal detecting because I trust the psychic impressions I get. I do psychometry. So when I go out metal
That's
detecting,
how I
I'm actually.
Out. I started
yeah,
doing
I
psychometry.
Mean,
That's one of the best. You should do a show on psychometry alone. It is to teach people how to do it.
Oh, we do that. Actually, believe it or not, we do that. We do. Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm actually starting a mediumship group of my own because I'm finishing certain certifications that I'm going through. But one of the things we did early on in this show was we had psychometry nights where we would pick objects up and I would project color.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easiest. It's the color. We do projection of that.
Yeah.
With me, it's one thing for me to because I can't be physically there with them, but on air I can do stuff and have them guess. And get them to reach out with their minds and connect with me, and then they can get these different things. And so there's nights when it's the craziest stuff in the world. We're hitting the right and left, and then other nights it's just like we're not doing anything. But you get
I
encourage them to do it. I'd say to them, hey, go out and meet with meet with friends, and then pass a hat around and put rings and things in and try this for yourself.
You like to buy
and develop your
well.
Skills.
Do you like
a little bit.
Bicycle
I mean,
as well. I feel like flight, like hang gliding, bicycling, something that's swift. What's it that you thought of doing?
It's not so much that you've almost pinned it. It's windsurfing.
Well, I mean, it's swift.
It's swift. Trust me.
I don't know what
windsurfing
is like.
It's really really fun and it's really fast and. And you get the hell scared out of you, and then you fall, and then you get up and you go, I want to do it again. It's surfer dude, man. It's from California,
Man, I wish I was in California. You sound like so much fun.
I
need a
rebound,
man.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking for somebody.
Well,
I was only engaged to him for 6 months, so it's not that big of a loss. And had it not been for his family again, we would still be engaged, and I still have deep feelings for him, but it's just not going to work out.
Well, sweetheart, I'll tell you what. Take your time. But I'm so flattered. I'm one of these men that I take a while to get to know. Really. But I'm definitely I'm an old softy. So. But we'll keep talking. Let's just say it that way. We'll keep talking. We'll see how this goes.
I'm friendly. That? That's fine. I'm just talking. Just being me and.
You are a very spirit, and you're a very nice lady, and I've had a great time with you tonight. I've got about 5 minutes, 20, because we can run over.
Let me ask about Michael.
Yeah.
He's in New York, and I was talking to him before I even met Eric, my ex-fiancé, and
mm-hmm.
who still calls all the freaking time, but that's another matter. When I say Michael, well, what impressions does that bring up to you? Is there anything of the future there?
First word I got was intensity.
Oh, my God. He's incredible.
Yeah, intensity. And I get the, I get all over the map kind of a guy. He's just, I get all over the map. That's the,
like
the words I'm getting from. Everywhere. This guy is like.
He has a jet, and he just wasn't, like, last weekend when I was dying of a broken heart, you know, he was in Zurich.
Yeah.
And then he was
okay,
in
well,
Chicago.
Well, this,
you're reading quite
other,
well is what I'm trying to say.
Thank you. The other sense I get is I hate to say the word, but I got to go with what I'm getting. He definitely has an eye for the ladies. Let's just say that. He definitely notices women.
I think people are always trying to land him. You know, I just want to screw him, to be honest, you know.
Well, all I know is he's definitely been around the planet, and he's gone around the world in more ways than one.
Do you think he's truly interested in me, or is he just being playful? Which is okay to be playful, but
I'm going to take the safe but middle approach. I think that you would definitely have an option with him, but. He's going to be one you're going to have to hold him. You're going to have to really be work at it. It's going to take a relationship thing that you're really going to work at. He strikes me as easily bored, and easily his attention tends to wander. That would be the sense I get of him. A wanderer. Yeah. You know, it's funny because you're a wandering spirit in your own right. And sometimes I think two wanderers are going to be kind of two ships that pass in the night. It's like a wanderer and then a stable rock type guy. You know,
well,
in your case or yours.
If I could have a year or two with him, I would be so happy. Of happiness.
Well, you know what happiness is? Happiness is now. You know, it's not a quantity you can put in a bottle. It's a
and that
Eric
guy
now.
Is going to stay in the past, right? The ex-fiance.
Done.
Good.
That's good. Water under the bridge. Bye bye. Yeah. Say goodbye. Wave. Where'd he go? Yeah. That's done.
To you.
Well, I like talking with
you
too.
You have a kind and loving spirit. It's refreshing.
Well,
I have people that demand so much of me.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to. I've got two minutes left
down?
Before. I've got your number already down. I got that, and I will.
Well, you just want to call me right back, and we'll talk for maybe 10 minutes.
Well, I'm going to have to shut the studio down and then get back to my place, and we could do that. Yeah, I'll call you from there.
Okay.
So I got to wind it down and do my checklist
promise
and get everything
you're
done.
Call me?
I promise I will call you. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
I will call you. I am the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Do you like the Star Wars movies?
Do I like the Star Wars movies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like those.
I love them.
Yep.
Mm-mm-mm. I need more friends.
Okay. All right.
I'm just
well,
saying, I hope you realize.
I know you are. You're funny.
I love
your
voice. You got an attractive, strong voice.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what. We got 1 minute left before we get auto-disconnected, so I am going to wind it down. For all our archive listeners, we've had a great show tonight, and we thank you for coming in. We got 55 seconds left.
And if you want me
back
on the show, please comment on this archive. My name is Angela,
definitely.
Otherwise known as Cause to Talk, and I'll give you plenty
okay.
to talk about.
All right, Angela. Well, hey, do that. Everybody comment about Angela. And this is SoulStream on blogtalkradio.com. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, we'll be back on. We'll be doing I don't have anybody lined up. We'll do some more readings work. And then we're going to start. Well, we can do that. And we can do some readings impromptu. But we will also be lining up future readers and stuff in the very near future. for that. So we got 15 seconds. So I will bid you adieu, Angela. See you in a little while.
Blessings to everyone.
Okay. Blessings to all. Good night, everybody.
Good night, all. Hear from you later. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.